This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to Geek and Sassy. I am Jennifer, and here with my beautiful and wonderful co-host, Miranda. Say hi, Miranda.
Hello. Hello. And this episode is brought to you by whatever the fuck we want, because nobody pays us to do this.
Exactly. Where that came from, I don't know, but okay.
Where that came from is I've been listening to all these podcasts, and they're like, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Thank you, Audible. Use this code. And then I got to thinking, and I was like, well, how would you and I even begin to go about that process? Because there's two of us, and so for both of us to get benefit from something, like, that wouldn't be fair for one of us to get free Audible because we, you know, or Netflix or Amazon or whatever the many things. So I decided to say on Geek and Sassy that our show is brought to you by whatever the fuck Miranda and Jenny want me, because
we don't get paid anyway.
We don't get paid
matter.
For this. No, we don't get paid for this. Ain't none of these
believe
places,
it or not.
I was gonna say, ain't none of these places giving us discounts that we spew.
Casper mattresses,
right?
What's that other one?
The one that I really want to try, the purple, or the what's the? Oh God. The one that kills me on ESPN radio. The Zepa. Get your Zepa.
Or what's the one that the food that comes to your house?
The one that I do. Home Chef.
Home Chef, and then there's another
Blue
one.
Apron.
Blue Apron, that's it.
Which I have thought about being like, hey, Home Chef, which I've talked about them on here like two or three times before, but I thought about being like, hey, I talk about you on a podcast. You won't give me some free boxes? And they probably going to be like, hey, we appreciate that. Nope.
No. Nice try, though. So I hear that we have some other exciting Geek and Sassy news.
We do. So I wasn't going to tell someone, but I decided to because I got overly excited. So
not
as this,
you.
Right. Jenny's birthday is not actually till October, but as an early birthday present to her, which is kind of to me too, but I know it's something that she's really been wanting to take care of, because our not-so-fabulous logo was made by me, like, the night before our very first recording, so we would have something to submit to Place to Be Nation to say, like, oh, this is our logo, and not my Mom's a Nerd logo, because we actually used that. It was our second episode.
Yeah,
we used for my first episode, we used My Mom's a Nerd. And I was like, okay, as much as I love my logo, this is not cool because it's not just me. Like, it's me and Jenny, and we're, you know, a thing together. So I found a girl that is an amazing artist. She's a local artist. She's not like, she does it for fun. And like, if somebody's like, hey, would you do this for me as a commission? Like, would you be willing to do this? She's like, she does it, and she's like, yeah, sure. And so she's actually been painting. If you've been to the Fanatics here in Enterprise, then you've noticed on the front of the new comic shelf, the table, it's like every time you go in, there's a new like picture or drawing on the front. And she is the one doing that, and her name's Liz. So I asked Liz if she would make a logo for me and Jenny. And that is Jenny's early birthday present.
Oh, you are so sweet. What did you tell her, though? It's not going to be like our faces and stuff, right?
Well, it might.
Oh, Lord.
And she made a logo for some friends of ours that have a new podcast that we'll talk about their podcast in a little bit. But she made a logo for them. And it's really cute. It's like them is kind of like little... the way the faces are drawn, it's almost like they're little chibis.
Okay.
It's really cute. Like Scotty Young type.
Okay.
Yeah. And she can do a bunch of different things. She can do like anime style. She can do like the Scotty Young style, like the little chibi style. She can do kind of like a natural, normal, like this is just a hand drawing of someone. I've seen various different works that she's done, and I was impressed.
Interesting. So did you give her any guidelines, or is she just free reign? Like,
I kind of gave her free range. I gave her the link to our Instagram and our Twitter, and I gave her the she got a couple pictures of the two of us together, mm-hmm. and then the show synopsis, and of course the link for her to like listen to any of the shows that she'd like to. And I told her, you know, just kind of go for it. And if you have like multiple ideas, then go for that, and then we'll discuss it later.
Wow. Well, I'm excited.
I am too.
I cannot wait for that. Oh my goodness. You never know. You never know what you're going to get.
I know, but I've seen her other work, and I feel like at this point that I'm going to like it. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. You're the sweetest. That will make turning 35 a little bit easier for me.
35 is not that bad.
It's a little bit bad.
Yeah.
Well, besides pulling off some cool stuff for Geek and Sassy, what else have you been up to?
Insane amounts of fifth grade homework.
Oh, I feel you.
Oh. Yeah, so there's that.
There's that.
What else have I done? I've worked. Been doing fifth grade homework.
That's pretty much it, huh?
Honestly, that's what it feels like, because they fired someone this week, so I've worked like 3 days of overtime.
Oh, no.
And then one day I actually had to work from Fanatics because all of the area here had like no freaking internet. It was great.
Great. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the doctor today, and he wants to yank out my tonsils. So.
Oh, I'll bring you ice cream.
Will you bring me drugs? Because I don't give a fuck about ice cream. I'm going to need some pain meds.
You really won't. It's not as bad as you think it is.
Dude, why do people tell me? No, it's terrible.
Caden had his tonsils and adenoids removed and had a set of tubes put in all at one time, and he was like up and running around and doing all these backflips.
It's totally different for children. It's a whole different ballgame for adults. I had a doctor describe it to me as freaking torture.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'd be like, well, I'm a mom, and I, you know, gave birth, and there's that. And
well, I didn't give birth, but I guess I did get cut on, so there's that.
It's still giving birth.
Anyway.
You just didn't do it vaginally. Yes, used the word vaginal.
Yeah, let's change the subject.
See, I've said that word on here before because.
Yeah, but not in reference to me.
No, I was saying in reference to birthing in general. I wasn't saying in reference to you necessarily.
You did. Oh my god, it's a train wreck already. It's just an utter train wreck already.
So my
point with bringing that up is that, you know, after Ethan had his tonsils out, his voice was like really squeaky for a good month. So I'm like, I won't be able to record for a little bit because I will sound weird. Plus, I will be in pain.
You might sound raspy. Mm. Most adults I've heard go through it, they sound raspy. Not really. They don't do that squeak that kids do.
Mm-hmm.
But they do sound raspy.
Hey, that might be better than my actual voice then.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, let's talk about what we've been watching, our streams.
Yes. Because
we have a bunch.
We do. Do you want to do the ones that we have in common first?
Yes.
Or do you want to do... Okay. Sure. Go for that, Dan. You go.
Well, I know that us and several other people that we know have watched Atypical on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it was of particular interest to you and I because we have sons on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And the show is about an 18-year-old on the spectrum. And... I have lots of thoughts about this show. I the first thing I thought was that I'd only seen like one trailer for it and not very much advertising for it. And I wondered about that. John was like, I never even heard of this show. Like,
what? Oh, you guys didn't know about it like in advance?
I just had seen one trailer a while ago that I thought was funny, okay. But nothing since then.
I know about it. I'm in a couple of like spectrum. It's just for like parents who are geeky, that are like they have kids on the spectrum, and they've been sharing it in there for a while. I don't know how they found out about it, like before. But they've been sharing about it for a while, and I kind of watched the first few episodes, like, the first few, like, trailers. Because there's that one that, like, they showed on Netflix. But then there's, like, actually two or three more. And I was unsure about, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to watch that. But I was unsure as to, like, I don't know.
If you could actually do it.
If I could do it, how they were going to pull it off, because... You have to have done your research, because explaining someone on the spectrum and trying to make a show about someone on the spectrum is really hard, because there's all different versions of being on the spectrum.
Right.
And I will say, one of the things that bothered me about this show was like me explaining people on the spectrum. So my son in particular is Asperger's, but not autistic. And so that's where we fall on the spectrum. And they kept saying he has the boy on this show. He has autism. Or is autistic. They never come out and say exactly, because yes, you can be just, hey, he's autistic, but typically there's another like, oh, they have ODD or they're Asperger's, or I could sit here all day and name all the actual like variations. They just keep saying he's on the spectrum. He's autistic. He's on the spectrum. And I was like, as a parent who has a child on the spectrum, I kind of wanted to be like, what, like, oh, could you actually define, like, is he just on, he's just on the spectrum? Like,
I see what you're saying. I kind of took it like they were leaving it open to be like, this is like, I feel like they didn't want to box him in with some sort of specifics. You know what I'm saying? That way they could at least show a bunch of different aspects of what it means to be on the spectrum without having to focus on one particular diagnosis or the other.
Which I guess I get. Yeah, it does make sense. But then to me, like, I mean, think about how we're all, like, now, you know, before we didn't know that, but now it's like, now that you have a diagnosis, you stay specific to your diagnosis, because you don't need treatment for someone that's ODD. You need treatment for somebody that's Asperger's. So that's kind of why it bothered me. I was like, what is his? I mean, I've heard a lot of parents that are like, oh, he's on the spectrum. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you look at them and, you know, like, are they going to elaborate? Because most of them are like, oh, he's on the spectrum. He has Asperger's. He has this. Or, you know, we have sensory disorder. Or we have,
OCD.
Right, OCD. And that's why, I mean, I'll just explain it now. Because we had some friends, I guess, that didn't even realize that Caden was on the spectrum, which I'm not ashamed to talk about it. Like, the dad in this show had a problem with. I'm not ashamed about it, but it's a hard thing to talk about, because people either look at you and go, oh, well, it doesn't look like anything's wrong with him. Or, right, okay. And then they, like, roll their eyes because they think you're making excuses, or that you've made it up, or that you're trying to get attention. And it's none of those things.
No.
But some people, sometimes I have to look at people and say, I'm really sorry about what he said or what he just did, but he's Asperger's and he doesn't entirely understand that that's not appropriate.
Right.
And they're like, okay. Like, they look at me like they're so confused. So sometimes I just don't say anything. But Caden's official diagnosis is that he has Asperger's. And that is because, as far as ADHD goes, we can't even get through the first 5 minutes of the attention test that you have to take to find out if you're ADHD or ADD. So he is obviously, Yeah, the lady was like, ma'am, we can't even get through the cut.
You're like, well, okay. He passed.
Like, right. She's like, that's kind of, we got what we needed.
Right.
So, Caden is actually OCD, ADHD, and he shows acute behaviors of someone with sensory processing disorder. Mm-hmm. And therefore, all of those things combined, and he has anxiety and depression. So anxiety, depression, OCD, ADHD, sensory processing. The doctor looked at us with all these diagnoses and said, because of all of these and because of a few other things he displays, you know, sounds, no fear, a couple other things that you're used to, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's best if we say that he is autistic. You know, he is on the autism spectrum. Excuse me. He tests out of being autistic because there are certain things, qualifications you have to meet. It sounds really weird that I'm saying qualifications. There's certain check marks that you have to like, oh yeah, check on that. And we didn't have enough of those. So it makes you on the spectrum with Asperger's because he has all of those things.
Right. And we have a similar story. So that makes sense to me.
Right. We're very Sheldon Cooper for anybody that doesn't understand.
Right.
We're not, there are some things this boy did that we're not there. Like we're not there.
Right. Right.
But,
well, in this story, if you are listening to us and haven't seen it or heard anything about it, it's actually a comedy, and it follows Sam, who is a teenager on the autism spectrum, and he is ready to date. He has been seeing a therapist, and she kind of encourages him to start dating. He starts getting advice from friends and family. You know, he ends up getting a girlfriend. His mother is kind of having trouble letting go and letting him do these things because you don't see much of their actual history, but you can tell to this point she's been the number one person that has dealt with him and knows him in and out and knows what to do. Mm-hmm. And identified with that a lot. And so he's finding this newfound freedom and this newfound desire to do normal things, be like normal people, normal in quotes, and dating is one of those things. And the thing for me with this show that took a lot of the sting out of it, because a lot of it was just so close to home, so personal, so right on, the humor in this show is what really set it apart for me. It's just in some ways crazy and over the top kind of humor, like towards the end of the show, the episodes, but really like subtle, sarcastic. And then even Sam, just him and his personality is inherently funny. And I identify so much of my son in him.
Oh, every time he would pop off with one-liners where he's being sarcastic, but he doesn't understand sarcasm.
Right.
I would think of both of the boys, and especially conversations they had. Like him and that one kid that is clearly on the spectrum. They never say what's wrong with him or anything either. He pops in and out a couple times. With the longer hair.
Yes.
And he has the sex talk.
The sex talk, yes.
I was like crying because of something that happened. And then I started laughing because I am picturing Caden and Ethan. I was like, oh, God. And not like so much that like I'm freaking out because they're going to have these conversations together in a few years, I'm sure. But because they weren't like, you know how our boys go through those moments of like, we have so many things in common. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're like, we don't have anything in common. We don't want to talk to each other today.
Yes.
And then they start like, oh, but what about this? And it takes that one thing. And then they and like back and forth and like sarcastic and funny and like the whole like says inappropriate things because they don't understand that it's not inappropriate. Like they don't understand that it's, you can't say that, or you shouldn't say it out loud.
And to him, he just has this, Sam has this truth, you know, this brutal,
they're blatantly honest.
It's just no filter. And that in itself is inherently funny to me.
That is exactly how we describe it. No filter.
No filter. And the actor who is playing this guy, I mean, he's fantastic. I bought it every minute of it.
I did too.
The light parts, the heavy parts, the quiet parts and loud parts. I was just super impressed with him. And Jennifer Jason Leigh is his mother. She was amazing.
Oh, she is amazing. I hate her character a lot, but overall as an actress, she was amazing. She did a phenomenal job because several times I saw myself in her.
I did too.
And then in other times I was mad at her because I was like, that's the stupidest decision you could ever make because I'm not over here. Like, I mean, can we spoil it? Is it okay to spoil it?
I would say like vaguely, not, I don't want to get too spoily on this one because I really would like people to watch it.
I really would like people to watch it too, but I have a like very, cause you know what I'm going to say.
I do.
You think it'd be okay? I won't go into detail about it, but I just want to say like,
okay, just skip ahead a little bit if you don't want to hear the spoiler.
About the mom, real quick. I just got really angry because you've been through this, I've been through this, and we know a bunch of other parents that have, and they didn't decide to go bang somebody that wasn't their spouse.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but to me, I can feel her frustration. You know, I'm like,
oh no, I do feel her frustration, but like, I think that the thing that made me the maddest about it is not, okay, I saw it was coming and it happened and I was like, okay, it happened, no big deal. But then like, it kept happening. And then even when she's like meeting with the other moms in the group and they're like, well, whatever you do and you do. And she's like, mm-hmm, and right. You can tell she's decided at that point that it is going to continue. And right. I'm like, you stupid bitch. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's the decisions that she made. And I kind of think it's important to tell that story in this context because, like I said, she was having so much trouble with him being independent and, you know, the daughter doing her own thing, and it seemed like nobody needed her anymore. And what is she supposed to do? So to me, it makes sense for that.
Which I guess I get, like, we're not there yet. Like, our boys still need us a lot. But right. I remember right after my mom divorced my stepdad and nobody lived at home anymore. Mm-hmm. My brother was stationed somewhere else. My other brother lived on his own. You know, I lived down here and she would call me all the time and be like, what are you doing? But I don't have anybody. Nobody needs. And that's what she kept saying when she'd get upset is nobody needs me. Mm-hmm. No, what am I supposed to do? Nobody needs
right,
me.
Right.
And I'm like, you're supposed to be you now. Like,
right. It's but who is that? I mean,
right, that's what she kept saying. She's right. Like, but who is that? What right. is that? And I was like, the person that you've always been, you're still our mom. So part of me gets that, like gets exactly what you're saying, that, you know, she felt unneeded. Mm-hmm. But then there, I felt like I got frustrated with her too, because there were times where Sam was like, okay, I need you and I need you to do this thing for me. And it's like, no, Sam, I don't think you should do that because remember last time? It's like she didn't want him to get better or be better or – and that's a bad term because they even say that on the show. Like, you don't get better.
Right.
But you get better at doing things. So that made me mad too when they were like, you don't get better. You can't cure it. I'm like, yes, but you get better at being able to handle things.
Right.
You get better at being able to do things and you – so it made me mad, especially when he asked to go shopping, because mm-hmm. this doesn't spoil anything. We remember he asked to go shopping, which is all part of this, like, he wants to date. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, Sam, honey, don't you remember the last time I tried to take you to the mall? But it's so loud in there. And at first I was like, okay, she's telling him this because, well, I mean, you and I have done it. Like, oh, it'd be easier. Like, hey, you know, John, or hey, Jerry, you know, Ethan stay with you or can Caden stay with you because I really need to go to the store and it would just be easier if I went by myself. So I get that. Mm-hmm. So at first I was like, okay, maybe that's where she's going with this. And so I was like a little frustrated. And then they get to the mall and she's like, isn't it too loud? We should just leave. It's too, like, she didn't even want to try.
Right.
And that frustrates me because most of my life is, let's just try.
I totally get that, and I felt a lot of her in that scene. Was just like, I've been through this so many times, and I know the outcome, and it's like all those times when you pushed through, and you did try, and then everything went to shit, and you're like, why the hell did I even do this? I knew this was going to happen. I should have just avoided this whole situation. Like, that's the thing that went in my head, because, you know, she gets him and she understands him. She knows what triggers him. So it was, to me, I just kept feeling so torn, you know, especially about that mom character, because I could just identify with her so much. And then also feel like, why is she being like this? It was very hard. Very hard to watch at times, but also just hysterically funny at times too. To me, a perfect balance. I was surprised by this show. I was not expecting to fall in love with this show, but it is amazing. Quick watch. You can binge it in a day. Easy.
Was it eight episodes?
8 or 10, and they're like 30 minutes, mm-hmm. 35 minutes. So,
right. The therapist, by the way, I was really shocked. Like, the first two episodes, I was like, I know this girl.
Yeah, she's from the Guild.
She's from the Guild!
Yeah!
Like, one of my favorite things ever!
Yes!
She's, one of the amazing friends of Felicia Day and was on the Guild, and I was like, where do I know this girl? I know this girl. And then all of a sudden, I went, Tinka Bala!
She was really good. She had a little bit of a twist. Surprised about halfway through. Was not expecting. That was great.
I liked that she was a bigger character than, oh, that's just his therapist.
Right.
I liked that she played a part, because for the most part, the main characters are the mom, the dad, of course, Sam, because the show is about Sam. And realistically, the show is about all of them and how they deal with Sam, his sister, and then the sister's boyfriend, who I really liked that he played a bigger part.
Me too.
I liked him a lot.
The sister, what is her name?
Casey?
Or her real name. Yeah, okay. Casey. She was, like, just refreshing in how she related to Sam in particular, how at the same time very defensive of him, and then also turns around and just is a little shit little sister and gives him trouble
In a lot of sense, though, she's a big sister.
Right. That is very true.
She doesn't know that, like, her character flaw would be she's the little sister that's had to be a big sister, and so she doesn't know when to not be a big sister and to be a little overbearing.
Right. To be there for him.
Right. At the same time, you see, I had siblings that were – probably on the spectrum. Like, I know both my brothers had ADHD. But that's back when, like, you didn't, they're boys, you know?
Yeah.
So both of my brothers probably had some sort of being on the spectrum. And they tended to take a lot of my mother's attention. The difference was I was a big sister. So I got what she was saying, but I also, the moments when they were, like, ignoring her and, like, focusing on the boys, that hit me.
Yep.
And it's nothing against my parents, but, like, there's been several stories. I think I've said a few on here before, but, like, where, not today, the boys have football, or not today, your brother has, you know, your brother has this doctor's appointment, or not today, because your brother has to go here, or not, and I just kind of, like, that kind of resonated with me.
Right. I understand.
We can't afford that because we're already doing it for the boy. You know, we're already doing this for the boys, and it had nothing to do with, oh, they're boys, we're going to let them do whatever they want. Like, no, it was my brothers just required, you know, they had to had to have activities. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to be in football. They had to be in basketball because they needed that energy, like, gotten out. Mm-hmm. They had to do things like that. So, unfortunately, paying for two boys to do stuff like that, there wasn't money for me to be in some sort of club or organization too, until I got older and I paid for it myself. And of course, then I was in, like, all of them I could be in because I was trying to make up for it. So I did feel that. I did understand that, like, you know, oh, well, if you try out for this, then that means you would have to be there every day after school. And if you're there every day after school, who's watching the boys? Yeah. So I felt that in her, and I felt that. And I think because she knows about a lot of the other family problems that are going on. Mm-hmm. And so she's dealing with them like an adult. And in reality, isn't she only like 15, 16? Because they keep calling her the baby.
Yeah, she's like a sophomore.
Yeah. So she's 15, maybe 16, probably not quite 16 yet. But yeah, they keep calling her the baby. So she's dealing with all these adult issues and being made to handle things that, I mean, really at 15 years old, she should be being a kid.
But she is pretty wise and smart and, you know, trustworthy. So, mm-hmm. you know, I really enjoyed her character because, you know, she is also a smartass and really funny.
She is.
Even though she looks kind of like, I know you don't watch The Walking Dead, but she looks kind of like the lead trash person lady on The Walking Dead.
No, yeah, I mean, I know enough that yeah. I know who you're, yeah, I know yeah. who you're talking about. She does look a lot like her, but their look is unique, though, because I couldn't think of, I mean, there's not really too many other people that look like them.
No, like, she's definitely not your typical teenage look, I will say that. Is it all you want to say about Atypical?
I mean, we really haven't said anything about the dad. I will say he was the one that I thought was very refreshing because he was going through the stages of this was hard for me to handle. I didn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm handling and I'm here and I'm trying to be here and I'm, you know, so you've seen all of his stages, but kind of in like the mom's in reverse, mm-hmm. like, and he's already been there and she's kind of like resentful of him because, you know, and he's just now learning some things. So,
and it was that whole igloo thing. Cause Sam's fascination is with penguins, Antarctica.
Yes.
Because a lot of people on the spectrum have like a special focus
and son of a bitch, if they didn't pick penguins, did you know how much I was crying when he was like penguins, blah, blah, blah. I was like, fuck you, Netflix. My son loves penguins.
So his dad built him an igloo and that being one of the ways that he could relate to his son. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand much about you, but I know you like penguins, so I made you an igloo. And then the son was like,
I thought it was funny. Wasn't the first igloo he built, which we don't see that one because apparently that happened when he was a kid. And he's like, it's the worst igloo ever.
It was the worst igloo ever.
That's, again, that no filter. Like, exactly. I don't know not to tell you that because
you went through all this.
I'm not being like, he, of course, his parents, because I'm sure the boys have said things like that before. I know Caden said things like that to me before where he's like, oh, remember, for example, when we went to eat and the waitress handed him a grilled cheese and he literally pushed it across the table and goes, you call that a grilled cheese? like to her face, that poor waitress, he said it to her and Jenny and I just laughed. And I was like, I'm really sorry. Can we get some more fries or something, please? that's Caden. Like, and it's the same thing as the whole, like, that was the worst igloo ever. To Caden, he looked at that grilled cheese and I don't know what it was. There was something that was not right to him, and he's like, "This is what the hell is this?" Basically. Right.
And another thing about the dad character is how sweet it was when he was trying to help him, give him a dating advice, mm-hmm. Tell him things about, you know, trying to win his mother, and then another part of the spectrum is being completely literal. And then he would take that advice and, like, it just be literal instead of getting the vibe of the story. I have lots and lots of experience with that. Mm-hmm. So they just put this funny little twist on it. And it just really is special.
It was really good. I highly recommend it, whether you're a parent that has a child on the spectrum or does not have a child on the spectrum. I recommend it if you've ever had questions about people on the spectrum, because I think they do a pretty good job. I mean, I've had some complaints you guys have heard already, but they do for the most part a pretty good job of showing you like the whole, his fidgeting, how he has to play with the rubber band. Mm-hmm. That's big. That's like for pretty much anybody on the spectrum, regardless of their diagnosis.
And the sound issues.
They were talking about, he's actually talking, he says, when I was little, I used to like just bang my head against the wall. Because they don't understand why they can't get it right. And they're not understanding what they're supposed to be doing exactly is essentially what kind of happens. Caden used to do that when he was a kid because he was nonverbal. And so he would literally throw his head back and like against the wall and hit his head a couple of times and then like lay in the floor. So I got that. It's just we don't do that anymore.
Right.
So I felt really bad that his character, you know, he's 18 and he's still going through that. Because it just goes to show you that some people on the spectrum not grow out of it or get better, but learn how to handle it a different way. Mm-hmm. And some will never be able to. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I was texting you and I was like, these statistics, though, because they did. They were spouting off statistics about the amount of people on the spectrum that will never get married and will never have a relationship or a girlfriend. And that's when I was texting you and just crying, because at the end of the day, I know the realization is that my son may never get married and my son may decide to live with me forever. Or he may find a girlfriend that is on the spectrum too. And then they're going to fight and argue because they're not going to understand each other. And there's just so many what ifs that obviously I don't need to think about them yet, because I need to think about the what ifs of tomorrow, yes. Not 20 years. But those statistics, they sting. They sting.
Yeah, they do.
As a mother.
Yep. They sure do. I didn't read any of the articles, or any of the comments, but I think that this show has gotten some backlash about some of their
really
portrayals. Just this, I like I said, I have not clicked on this, but the quote says, "A new Netflix series, Atypical, portrays autistic men as sexist jerks." So I don't.
Well, why are they not giving backlash to Big Bang Theory? Because I mean, look at Sheldon. He's very much a lot like Sam. Mm-hmm. And it's been going for how many seasons? And they've only briefly touched in a few seasons that Sheldon has, he is on the spectrum.
Right, yeah, they haven't really.
But they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole show's not about him being on the spectrum, because obviously that show is about a whole cast of characters. But, I mean, he is. And, I mean, that makes me wonder, because this fall, and we'll talk about this one in our fall episode that we are going to do again this year, but there's a new show. It's a spinoff, and it's, Sheldon Cooper as a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I am, like, all about that. I am so excited. My mom's always said, I want to see more of Shelley as a kid. And she's, for years, called Caden Sheldon, my little Sheldon. So, because he'll do that. That's my spot.
Yeah.
So I just wonder why they're giving backlash to this show specifically. Is it maybe because it's all about him being on the spectrum, you think?
This seems to have issues with how he treats women or his inability to read women.
But that's how they are.
Right. Maybe they're...
Because I'll tell you right now, like at 11, which is when most kids are like, oh, I have a boyfriend, or I have a girlfriend, or I like her. My kid has no interest. Like, somebody will say something, because he'll say, that's my friend, and, he'll name the girl's name, and somebody will be like, so is that your girlfriend? And he's like, well, she's a girl. Yeah? And then they'll be like, oh, it's your girlfriend. And he gets really mad, and he's like, no, it's – because he's trying to explain, like, that's my friend. So – that's another thing, like, people are like, well, why is he just now having this interest at 18, like Sam's character? And I'm like, well, that's why, because they don't, like, they've been thinking about penguins this whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Plus, their developmental state is usually a couple years behind, their peers. I don't know, this article looks like bullshit, because one of the quotes is, I've seen more of this on social media than on film or television. Stories of people excusing creepy or inappropriate behavior from men because they are or more commonly perceived to potentially be autistic.
Well, I mean, the numbers for boys being autistic are higher than girls. Yes. That is true. But I'm not – that was what I said earlier, though, about I don't say things because people think I'm making excuses.
Right.
But, I mean, like him saying there's something wrong with this grilled cheese and saying it out loud and pushing it to the waitress. I mean, those are the things we deal with now. But I'm sure as we get older – or like Caden, I mean, he got in trouble at school one day because the teacher – he kept, like, moving and wiggling, and the teacher was like, what's wrong? And he's like, nothing. And then he was like – she asked him again because he kept doing it. And he was like, my penis itches! Because we use grammatical terms. I mean, we use correct medical terms, because another story that I'm not going to go into right now, but I never wanted my kid to have some make-believe foo-foo
right.
name for his parts.
Right.
There's a lot of reasons why.
Right.
But So he knows it's his penis. And so he got in trouble for spewing in the middle of class because my penis itches. And I wanted to be like, well, Heifer, because it was a substitute that day. It wasn't even his real teacher. I wanted to be like,
you asked.
Heifer wasn't what came to mind, but I'm being nice right now. Because she's actually, I've met her a few times. She's a nice lady, but she had no clue. And so she just sees this kid, like, wiggling in his seat a bunch. And I wanted to be like, excuse me, bitch. But you just asked a kid 3 times, and he told you nothing. And then when you made him say it, he told you in the middle of class, well, my penis itches. Like, that's, but it's things like that. Like, why, I don't know. I kind of want to go read this article and us have it, maybe another discussion on another episode about whether, I'm sure we're going to disagree, because so far I'm that one sentence pisses me off.
Well, listen to this. It also erases accountability for autistic men. I cannot emphasize enough that sexism and misogyny are not inherent to autism, and that autistic men who do exhibit such behavior should be challenged and held accountable.
What fucking snowflake wrote this shit?
Somebody from a PhD student in critical disability studies and a disability rights blogger.
Oh my God, she needs to pick another profession.
I don't think it erases accountability for anybody. I don't think so either.
Well, I mean, if you don't, okay. So for example, Sam and his character, he goes to therapy and she tells him, that's very good that you did that, but let's dial it back or let's not do that. Mm-hmm. And we do the same with our boys where when they say something, we're like, well, you can't actually say that. And they're like, but why? And we have to explain to them why they can't say that. I don't think it raises accountability, but if you never sought treatment or you know that you have these problems, but you're not trying to address them, then there's an issue. But if you're autistic and you just simply do these things because it's part of like, oh crap, I wasn't supposed to say that, you know, like, you know, that, then it's different. I'm with you. I don't think it erases accountability. That's kind of shitty to say.
And I don't think that sexism and misogyny are inherent to autism either, but it's not about those two things. It's about their inability to read the social cues and to know how to react in this situation, because all they know is what they know. You know, they don't get the subtle hints that everybody else just inherently gets. You know,
well, it's like if you and I are out in a group somewhere and we notice that, you know, so-and-so is like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. We might take that friend to the side and be like, hey, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Or, you know, I hope everything's all right. No, I'm here for you. And our boys would be like, why are you being such a bitch? Or why are you being so cold?
Right. Or if they say they're fine, then they just literally take it as
they're literally
fine.
Like, I'm fine. But like, if people are being rude to them, they're like, why are you so rude?
Right.
They'll just flat out say it. I mean, Caden's actually told somebody once. He's like, you're rude, sir. And the guy wasn't rude. See, and that's, again, the guy had a speech impediment. The guy wasn't being rude. It's the way he came off and, like, when he said things, I bet he's probably been mean to, like, people have been mean to him so much because he wasn't an older adult that he kind of came across differently. And I picked up on that and heard the, you know, the wording and was like, oh, okay, and was being nice to him. And Caden was like, you're rude. So, I mean, it's the same thing. They don't understand that social cue that, oh, he sounds different. Oh, he seems upset. That's not a person being rude. Something's wrong.
Now I hate to keep referencing this article, but it just keeps being interesting to me because.
No, I kind of like this discussion that it's in that it's in absurd that is. I can't even think right now. You know what I'm trying to say? Kind of like the discussion that it's bringing between us because we're wanting people to watch this show and we're trying to. I would also like. I've always been a big advocate of people knowing more about the spectrum.
Yeah, so I agree.
Like, I think it's a good thing.
And, you know, there are some interesting concepts brought up in this article, which I could tweet or whatever, but it says, unfortunately, a lot of stories about autistic people focus the narrative on how to overcome this by best fitting into the gender stereotypes around them. Thus, Sam is presented as a nerdy male, which he is. And
which most of them are, though, right. Because that's where they feel comfort.
And the goal of the show is to move him towards a more normative masculinity, including a girlfriend and sex.
But he's the one that wants. Oh, right. Sorry.
It's interesting because there is a line between, like, I want my child to just be my child, like, be accepted for who he is and to be loved for who he is and to not change not one thing about him. But at the same time, you have to function in a society and you have to be able to learn how to, quote unquote, fit in to some degree.
I agree.
It's not easy. It's not black and white. It's very gray. And I never felt like in the show that they were trying to force him to be a more stereotypical, quote unquote, human guy or like normal guy. Well, I think that he finally got this interest in girls.
Well, because look at it. His mom flat out, like, really, every time he's like, when he sits at the dinner table, he's like, Julia thinks I should find someone. I don't remember that. And he says to something and have sex with. And right. She's like, what?
Yeah.
You can tell, like, I'm not ready for this. I don't want this. So I don't think it's, like, that. I mean, like you said, we want the best for our children. But realistically, whether our children at the end of the day grow up, whether our children on the spectrum, and I feel – I don't want to speak as a whole because I feel like that's what this person's trying to do, speak as a whole.
Right.
But speaking for the majority of people that I know that have children on the spectrum, at the end of the day, you don't care if your kid grows up to be gay, straight, bi, whatever. But you have always hoped your child would get married and your child would have a job. And not that you want them to leave home, but that they would leave home and that they would go to college and that they would do well and not be, you know, have to worry about being made fun of at college and that they would be successful. And those are things as a parent to someone on the spectrum, we don't get to know for sure are going to happen.
Right. And for us to want those things, I don't think negates our acceptance of our child.
Right.
I mean, it's not
I don't think we're forcing
exclusive.
Them. Right. And once again, normal in air quotes, which
right.
That's like when the boyfriend sits down to him and tells him, you know, like, I love that line that his sister's boyfriend gives.
Mm-hmm.
He's like something about being normal, and he says something to him about like, well, nobody's normal.
Normal, yeah, we're all
right?
Fucked
so that's
up.
Why,
yeah,
right. So that's why I use normal in air quotes, as you said, because even parents of normal children want those same things. You want your child to grow up and be successful and go to college and do well and possibly start a family, whether that is them, their significant other, and dogs, or just them and a significant other, or them and dogs. But you want those things for them. So why is it wrong that we want those things for our children too?
Right.
That's what it sounds like. It's like, oh, we shouldn't be forcing. Right. We shouldn't, like you said, shouldn't be negating to a certain area. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like you may not be that person that's writing this article may not be a parent now, but I guarantee you when they are a parent, they're going to want those things for their child, whether that child ends up being on the spectrum or ends up, air quotes, normal.
Right.
So I don't understand that sentence either. And for someone that wrote this to be in the study of people like this, it's very disappointing because those are the people that are our children's therapists and counselors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's disturbing to me.
Yeah. I'm really just kind of wanting to read this more and
yeah.
Yeah. Cause maybe I'm missing something.
No, I mean, you've pulled like three or four individual quotes and if there's that many quotes that only four, you know, you've only read four. And it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
I just don't see that she's going to come around and be like, well, and my point was, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't see it going that direction. I just really don't.
All right. Well, moving on.
Yeah. We did talk about that much longer than I knew that we both felt very strongly about certain things with that show. So I figured it would be something we talked a lot about.
What else you got?
So I won't go into like crazy detail, but after I binged that, I wanted something like different.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Netflix was like, oh, we think you would like, where is this show? I pulled it up so I could talk about it. And I tend to watch a lot of British stuff, so maybe that's why. They're like, we think you'll like this show, and it's called Crashing. And it was from, I think it actually was from 2006. I don't know when they actually posted it to Netflix, but I just found it. So, it's definitely mature audiences. Mm-hmm. It's in several genres. So, it's British TV, romantic TV, comedy. So, it's like comedy, dramedy. Kind of like the same with Atypical. It's like a dramedy. Like it's comedy, but it's got a lot of mature drama to it as well. So, the whole idea of this show, basically, is that it's following the lives of 20 and 30-somethings that live together in this as property guardians, which I didn't know. That was something I started then doing research on, like, what is a property guardian? So they live in this old hospital that's not in use anymore. And there's all these rules, and it makes, like, for really cheap rent, apparently. Mm-hmm. And, like, you are a property guardian, so you are guarding this property, so you agree, like, they're not allowed to burn candles, they're not supposed to be smoking, they're not supposed to have parties, they're not supposed to have extended guests. It's kind of like shitty living conditions, too, so I imagine it's kind of like living in a hostel permanently, from my understanding of hostels. I've never stayed in one. Like, I've never got to do the cool, like, I'm going to backpack through Europe. But, like, I have family that have stayed in a couple of times, and they're like, oh, they're really not bad. Just, you have to pay attention before you do it. They're old hospital. Like, the one of them they live in, you can tell, because they still have the light in the ceiling, like, the doctor would pull down and put over to do surgery. Yeah, and then, like, their main common area is where the waiting room would have been.
Okay.
Yeah. So they all live in here together, and it's there's a couple, and then there's just individual people, and then there's the girl that she's an artist, and she kind of meets a guy in the very first episode that's a coworker of one of the other main characters, and he ends up moving in with them, and it's their life in this guardianship place.
Gotcha.
And it's very interesting because the couple has their problems, and then the boyfriend's best friend moves in episode one. And so it's like everything going on at one time. It's another one of those quick binge, because I want to say it only had like 6 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, it had 6 episodes, and they were like between 23 and 25 minutes long. So,
when I think disused hospital, I think ghosts.
Right. Ghosts? No, it's nothing like that. It's like, it's everyday, like, real life. Like, they're living in here. They share their meals together. Well, like,
ghosts are part of real life sometimes.
Well, they are. I do believe in ghosts, but it's not like they've not added ghosts or anything. Okay. It's like normal, like, the relationship between the couple that are engaged and then the problems that ensue because the best friend has moved in. It's a girl. The best friend to the boy is a girl. The artist and then the older guy that's moved in that's going through a divorce, and she's now turned him into her muse. There's the younger gay gentleman who is becoming best friends with one of the other single guys that lives in the complex, and like what ensues with that and the gay guy's boyfriend, and it's just very interesting. There's a lot of nudity.
Sweet.
But not like – this one's different. It's not like some of the shows that we watch where they're like screwing all the time. I think – No, I think it's like there's one episode where it's trying to get her to like be more accepting of her body, mm-hmm. like being more accepting of herself in general. And so she ends up like with her shirt off, and there's a paint party that happens, and it's got real like intense situations. It's got some lightheartedness. It's got a little bit of everything.
Sweet.
I was very the last episode, like I said, there's only 6. I was really bummed that there were only 6 because it's when it just got. They did a good job with cliffhanger.
I think that's kind of like a trademark of some, you know, British comedies. It's just they just make
the original too. So
oh, is it okay?
Netflix is good with that.
Gotcha.
They're really good with giving us the cliffhangers. Yeah, but you'll have a love-hate relationship for some of these characters.
All right. I will definitely be watching that one.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely like to see what you think about it. It was very entertaining. I want more. Well, oh, and one of the girls that we've talked about like three times now, she was in the show you and I both watched that was like out there. What was it? Chewing Gum?
Yes.
That's why it told me I should watch it. Chewing Gum. And then she was the sister in Chewing Gum.
Oh, gotcha.
And then remember she was the main character on that show that I watched that I don't know if you've watched yet. Crazy Head?
No, but I know which one you're talking about.
Is like sci-fi out there. Okay, so she's the main character on Crazy Head. She's the sister in Chewing Gum. And in this show, Crashing, she's the friend, one of the best friends of the girl that's the couple that's the fiancé.
Gotcha.
That his best friend is a girl that moved in. Okay. So she works with her, and she's in. It's only six episodes. I want to say she's in three or four of them.
I like her.
So. I do. I like her. I was like, hey! She's very pretty in this one. Not that she's not pretty, but they make her very pretty in this one.
Another Netflix show that I've watched, I want to say two or three episodes of, I think we got interrupted in the middle of the third, but it's a show called Ozark with Jason Bateman.
I've heard good things, but I have not watched it.
I think it's already gotten picked up for a second season, so that's good. But it's pretty... Like,
so explain the premise to me.
The premise is that Jason Bateman and his business partner were laundering money for a drug cartel.
Okay.
And the business partner stole like $5 million. And the cartel guy found out about it. And there's some murderizing that happens. And some pretty brutal murderizing. And then Bateman manages to not get shot in the head, just by talking his way out of it. And there's this possible money laundering venture that can take place in the Ozarks in Missouri.
Okay. I was going to ask, it's like Missouri Ozarks, yeah. Not like next to us here. Ozark, no, is it? No. Cause you know, as soon as I saw that title, it's the first thing I thought about. I was right. Like, oh, nice.
there's a huge lake with a bunch of shoreline, and then a bunch of rich people come there, and it's supposedly a good opportunity to launder the drug dealer's money. Jason Bateman, he's, I don't want to say stereotyped, but when you watch Jason Bateman, you expect a certain type of character from him.
I like it.
Took me a long time to warm up to him, but when I did, you usually know what kind of guy you're going to get. It's going to be like a clean cut, like family man type guy, dry and sarcastic and, you know, lighthearted a little bit, you know, with maybe a little darker side. But in this, he is full dark. Like,
nice.
It's pretty. I was like, damn, Bateman. And it looks like he is a lot slimmer. And like,
I noticed that I'm looking at some screenshots right now of like different episodes. And I noticed, which is funny because he's a slim person in general.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is this?
His stature just seems smaller and slimmer than I remember. From other things, which doesn't mean one way or the other. It's just something that I noticed in watching the show. And I think it adds something to that darkness of character because he still does have like this sly wit and he's very smart and well-spoken. So that's pretty much the same, but, he's not really a good guy. And,
but he's still, it looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong because I nodged it, but looking at this, it looks like he's still that family guy.
But it's different because he will do anything for them, but his wife, who is Laura Linney, who is amazing, and I love her. I love Laura Linney.
She's a good actress.
Good
She's
Lord,
amazing actress.
She kills it. But he finds out some unfortunate, I don't want to spoil anything, but finds out some unfortunate things about her. And that is really pretty much ruin their relationship for now. We'll see how it goes going forward. But but he's very into his kids, and you know, he's very present for his kids, and so he does have that family man thing, but he also has this really dark side.
Okay.
Cool. But it's been very interesting so far. Something else that I watched, which we've talked about before, which I think we have differing opinions on this, but I rewatched all of Jessica Jones to get ready for The Defenders, which starts tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm going to be so behind on all of that. I'm going out of town again.
Damn you. But
from the solar eclipse.
And I think this is the first time that I've rewatched it since I originally saw it. And it just still is so good.
We did have varying opinions about that show. It wasn't that I don't know. I just had a hard time. Like, there are parts that I really liked, but I just had a hard time like getting into it because I don't know. I kind of liked her friend more than I did her.
That is one of the things that I thought of when I was watching it this time, is that Jessica Jones has some of the best like side characters and supporting cast in these Netflix shows. Like, I like Colleen Wing a lot on Iron Fist. I mean, she's the only thing that is remotely watchable in that show, but her friend Patsy, and then all of her people that live in her building, and mm-hmm. Hogarth, the lawyer. Amazing, amazing support guest. And David Tennant, good Lord. Good Lord, he kills it. He's so good. He's just crazy enough and charming enough to be the perfect villain. You know, he has that sort of craziness to him, but also that little mischievous side, and I don't know, he just pulls it off so well. And then I saw David Tennant, I listened to David Tennant in the reboot of DuckTales.
Yes.
Which came out last weekend. It was super great. I really, 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 really liked it a lot. Ethan, that child was going insane for some DuckTales.
Clayton was like, did you record it? Did you set it to record? Oh my God, did you set it to record? Mom, I'm not joking. You didn't set it. And then I set it to record, and we both got kind of ticked off because, you know, it was like DuckTales coming Saturday the 12th or whatever. It was the 12th, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and then, like, if you looked at the guide, it was DuckTales like all day. And so I was like, man, they're going to unload a lot of episodes. No, it was the same episode
over and over.
And it's not, okay. We've watched it multiple times now, but I was like, are you kidding? So you're introducing a new show and your idea is at 11 o'clock at night. Cause it literally, he didn't go to sleep because he was like, did you set it? Can I stay up? And he wanted to watch, there was a show that came on about Hearthstone before that on Disney XD, mm-hmm. at 10 o'clock that night. And I let him stay up and watch it. And so at 11 immediately it clicked on and started recording. And I was like, so you mean to tell me for 24 hours, literally for 24 hours, you played the same episode, which is an hour long episode time slot, back to back to back to back. I was like, oh my freaking Lord.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of a good idea because.
Yeah, I mean, not in the day of DVR. Why?
Yeah, that is true.
Because we did, and I had told the DVR I was going through there thinking they were individual episodes. And so my DVR had literally like 24 of the exact episodes. And Caden was pissed off. He's like, what the hell? I mean, what is – Mama, something's wrong with that.
Yeah, Ethan
my
was
box.
Like – he did the same thing. He scrolled through. He's like, it's going to be on all day. I'm like, no, baby. They're just playing the same one.
I didn't realize either. I'm going to be honest. Like, I set it to record every single one of them bitches.
But it was so good, though.
Yes, it was. It's really good. I am very pleased. You know, as a old school, right. You know, you and I watched DuckTales, the original DuckTales. And I had bought Caden the original DuckTales for his birthday, the movie.
Yeah.
He was super excited about that. I got him that for his birthday because he had seen the episodes and the interviews that this was coming out. And he was like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, well, you should watch like the original movie before you get all into this. And he's kind of been introduced to DuckTales already because he gets some of the Walt Disney comic books. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, oh, it's the nephews. And I was like, yeah. So he was really excited. And like I said, he's watched it. I don't know how many times since that's happened Saturday, but
I really thought that maybe the animation style would turn me off, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The nephews, their heads are a little bit square for me, like a little bit too large and squarish. But other than that, I really did. I like.
You want them to be rounder, or just
a little bit rounder? Yeah, because it's like a big square with rounded edges.
Sorry, it made me giggle.
But that's just me. I mean, that's just my opinion. But I like the voice acting, especially on Scrooge McDuck. And
they got some amazing voice actors.
They did. It was funny, too. I laughed out loud quite a bit.
Caden's favorite quote was the one about adventurers. Something about adventuring is doing, not sit around and waiting.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He was like, Mom, we should put that on a shirt or a sign. That's just amazing. And I was like, I do agree, honey. That's pretty awesome. I wish I'm going to try to find that quote now because that was pretty awesome. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. But that's all I've got for watching. Or watching. Streams.
Streaming. Watching. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah. So have you read anything?
You know I have, because you congratulated me.
Yes.
So, I finished my Goodreads goal! Whoop, whoop. Okay. That's enough of that. So, did I talk about the book? You and I have briefly talked about it, and the guys in our group get subjected to these things, too. You know, I wonder at night when they, like, turn that chat off, if they're like, what the fuck did I just get? What was I? Sometimes I get on there, and I'm like, what the fuck am I being a part of right now? But, you know, when I chime in with my, like, they're like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to read this book to finish it for book club. And everybody's like, what book would that be? Mm-hmm. Did I talk about that one already?
Nah, don't think so.
I'm looking at my notes and it does. I didn't write it down, but I'm like, did I?
It was okay. The smut book, right?
It was the smut book.
All right.
Oh, I don't think I did because, all right. So I didn't know that geeky smut existed.
Everything exists.
Everything does exist. You're right. Everything exists. So I should have known that something like this would be out there. And it was recommended as – it was our book of the month for the Vaginal Fantasy Book Club, you know, that I'm part of. And it's called – it's by Brianna Aubrey. And it's – the series is called Gaming the System. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually like 6 or 7 books in it. But the first 3 are about one couple and then the others are about other people. So the one that I read was book 1 at any price. And it's about this girl named Mia. And they keep telling, like, she's described, she's a huge gamer. So, like, in this book, she plays a game that's very similar to World of Warcraft. Of course, obviously, they can't say it's World of Warcraft because, you know, that's copyright infringement and all those things. But essentially, it's this woman, and I found out the author is a World of Warcraft player. So that's where she kind of got the idea. But the main character is a virgin. And she is a huge gaming blogger. Like, she's a very popular gaming blogger. Popular enough that she makes money off her blog to live.
Oh, wow.
And so she has decided to auction off her virginity online. Because she just wants to get it over with. She just wants to get it done. There's
and
this
get
whole,
paid.
Well, and that's what she's thinking. But there's this whole horrible backstory as to actually why she's still a virgin that will like break your heart. That's part of the book and part of the growth of the characters of the book too. So I don't want to like, they tell it pretty early on, but she obviously had something sexually bad she was attacked in a bad way. She is, but she is a virgin. She is. So everybody's going to be like, but she's not a virgin. No, I promise you. You just got to read it. Anyway, so she decides, her mom has been really sick. And her mom can't afford the hospital bills that are piling up. Mia is actually in medical school, and to finish school, she needs money. So she's like, you know what? This may be desperate, but I just want to get this over with. I don't want to be a virgin anymore. This is like holding me back. It's creating problems in my life. My mom has these bills. I need to afford medical school. I'm going to auction off my virginity.
Seems legit.
Right? As one does. So she dies, and she goes through the whole process, and her best friend helps her with the whole thing. Her best friend's this gay guy. They've been friends since like elementary school, I think.
Can I ask, how is that not prostitution?
Well, it is, and that's what I was going to get to.
Okay.
So they set up this whole thing that whoever she picks, they have to agree to it happening in specific cities because it is prostitution illegal in the U.S. But in these cities and countries, it is not prostitution.
Ah.
Yes. So, like, the money goes to an offshore account, and then she takes money out as she needs it. The actual event has to happen elsewhere because it's prostitution. It is. So, she actually – the guy that ends up winning the auction is this guy who's a software prodigy who made his first – million at 17, and now they're mid-20s, and he's like really hot, really driven, and he is actually the CEO of the company that she plays this game for. He owns the game.
Okay.
And he's used to being in charge, so it's kind of one of those like I take charge, man. Typical like smut book. I kind of am okay with that. Now, the girls in the group, when they were talking about that night, they were like, once again, the man that comes in and says, I man, you do this. I don't know. I'm kind of okay with that because I just, like, I like that. And then to watch them be like, oh, you're right. You know, I can't make you whatever. Anyway, if you've read Smut, you know what I'm saying. Like, but then they keep finding loopholes to her. Like, he's found loopholes to her rules. And so it's like she can't tell if he's playing her or if, or if he really likes her or what's going on. And it's like their whole storyline getting through the actual like virginity thing. And then there's if you start reading the book, there's something that happens with a friend. She has an in-game friend, kind of like I talk about, like, oh, my friend's in-game, and I played with them for however many years. So there's a thing where they start talking about this friend in-game that's mad at her, that she her in-game friend knows that she did this auction, and he's just mad at her, and he doesn't really want to talk to her. And there's, like, a twist to that and a twist to the storyline itself, and I was like, I saw that coming!
How much was it? How much did you have to pay?
I got it on Audible, which sometimes makes
things... I mean, how much was the auction? Like, how much was her virginity?
I don't remember how much he ended up paying.
Jeez.
It's a large sum. It's one of those, like, so large, I don't remember how many zeros were behind it.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like it was a... million?
Yeah. Close to?
Seriously?
Yeah, it was like 500,000, 600,000. Like, I mean, we're getting close to a million at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. He now wines and dines her a long way too, separate from that money. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed my raunchy geek book. They do. They have an argument about Star Wars. He thinks one is better. He thinks a certain one is better than she does. And then they start. I think they even mentioned Lord of the Rings. And of course, obviously, this game that she plays the whole time is essentially, like I said, it's Warcraft. They do mention Dungeons and Dragons, and using D20s to play games. And so it was very like our world, but sexed up.
I will say I'm intrigued.
I don't know that I'll read book two because I found out book two is the same story just from his view. Like, because
Bleh.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of this book that it's at her, like at her apartment. He's not even there. It's conversations she's having with her mom and her friends and things that are happening to her on her own. So it kind of, I am kind of like, well, maybe I might later, but I just want to get on with their story, like with their story, because there's more to their story. So I'm probably going to jump straight to book three, which is told from both, like it's both of them together. Apparently, you know, one of those, have you ever read, I know you have.
Where it like a book, switches back and
right,
forth.
Right, switches in between, this chapter is by, like this point of view and this, yeah. So I might skip two for now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know that it's really that different. And go on to three just because I want to know more. Because I'm pretty sure that they're going to do the typical thing that they always do. But whatever. Sorry, I had to tell you guys about my smut novel because it was actually pretty good. And if you're okay with sex in your stories and lots of sex in your stories, then
it fits the title, geeky and sassy. So there
it is, pretty geeky and sassy.
What else? Is that the only thing?
I mean, I just talked about that for like 10 minutes, I think. I did read several others because I had to finish that YUNO update. There we go. I was trying to look at my list of what else I read. Oh, I did read a little Doctor Strange. It took me like 2 hours to read it. It was like super quick. It's essentially the movie in like what they call junior novel form.
Oh.
I was like, why the fuck you call it a junior novel? This is for anybody. But I love me some Doctor Strange, so I read that. It was pretty neat reading it instead of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still working through that Sookie Stackhouse series. That's the more smut happens.
Well, I am just still way, way behind on my weekly comic books.
Oh, I'm like so behind.
I just keep picking them up and putting them in stacks on this bed, and I read Super Sons number 6. That I talked about Super Sons and how much I loved it is awesome. It's still awesome.
I read past 3.
I picked up 7 this week, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But continue to love that one. But the other things that I read, one of them was actually the collection, I guess you would call it, The Black Mirror. It is a Batman story, but not a Bruce Wayne Batman. It's a Dick Grayson Batman.
Woo-woo!
So this is the first time I've read any story with Dick as Batman, and I was surprised by how much I really did enjoy his Batman. This is written by Scott Snyder, of course. With art by Jock and Francisco Francavilla, which is, you could tell the issues that are Jock's art and then the issues that's the other artist. I actually like both styles, so it didn't bother me, but it just felt inconsistent when you read it, like when they're all together, when all the issues are together. I mean, it all still looks good. It's just two pretty different styles. They don't mesh at all.
Hmm.
But I've always, like, the Nightwing Rebirth is pretty much the only Nightwing I've read. But I've always loved his internal monologue. And I felt like this gave me more of that. It's so different reading Bruce Batman voice and Nightwing Batman voice, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It's because they present a different voice.
Yeah, they're, I just never really gave much thought. I knew that Nightwing had a turn as Batman, but I never really considered what that would actually look like. And it's pretty fascinating. At one point, they're on top of the roof, and Gordon had the bat signal on, and they have a conversation, and he turns around, and Dick is still standing there, and he's like, I'm just not used to me turning around and you still being standing there, meaning that usually Batman just disappears in the middle of his sentences. And then mm-hmm. Dick doesn't. He sticks around. It's just that little, kind of nothing, but kind of something too. Alfred is in this a little bit, which I always love. Anything with Alfred.
I love pretty much any iteration of Alfred.
Yeah.
I really do.
He's like seriously the most consistent, like consistently written and beloved character across all these books that I've read. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's so intriguing to me. Like I would read a solo series of Alfred. I really
would.
Heck
yeah.
I wish somebody would write that.
If I had those skills, I'd be writing it.
Me too. I wish I could write, but I cannot. But this is a great story, and I really do recommend it, especially if you want a little bit, something a little different. I mean, it's a great story, and one of the surprising parts of it is Gordon's son, which I kind of knew, but mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that I knew that he had a son. It kind of gives his whole backstory and what he's become to this point very interesting, gory and psychologically fuckery. Yeah, it's some fuckery going on, but it's pretty great. The other thing that I read that was different from what I normally read is a graphic novel called My Friend Dahmer.
I wanted to check that out, so I may have to borrow that from you.
Yes. It is by Derf Backderf.
Mm-hmm.
D-E-R-F, his first name. Backderf, his last name. So this is...
That's got to be, like, German or...
I don't know.
It's something... Norwegian or, I don't know, something, you know, one of those, like, countries over there. It just sounds, you know, things are spelt different. And...
So basically, this author knew Jeffrey Dahmer when he was in high school. They went to the same school.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his recollection of what happened. And then he's also interviewed people who were there and got their recollections. And also actual drawings that he did at the time makes an appearance in here, because Jeffrey Dahmer was really fucking weird. And I've always loved, like, serial killer stuff, but I didn't know much about him. And then after I read this book, it's actually a pretty quick read. I ended up in spiraling into this whole Jeffrey Dahmer, like, investigation, like trying to find out stuff that I didn't know.
So, you sound like me over here. What is a guardianship? What is it? Yes. I need this. I need to know.
But this novel is, it's haunting. Like, you will not forget that you read this novel. He draws it and writes it. It's in black and white, which I've always had this real connection to black and white, especially in graphic novel form. And especially in the panels where he has a drawing of something that he actually drew at the time that he knew Jeffrey Dahmer.
If I'm not mistaken, I saw a preview where this is actually, because there's a kid that is going to play Dahmer is a Disney Channel kid.
Yes. That's
and
actually
basically
what,
this book in, yeah. Okay.
In the show. Yeah, that's basically what got me into this, and I was like, I saw the trailer for the show, and I was like, that looks pretty great, actually. Mm-hmm. And I could see that show being really creepy, especially if they put the shit from the book in there. If it's true to the book, which, from what I could tell, it looked pretty true to the book.
Well, speaking of really creepy, did you see they're also making a Menendez Brothers show?
No, I did not see that.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know about it. Like, I don't know, the Menendez Brothers. You know, I love serial killers and, I don't know, things like that. But for some reason, the thought of watching a show about them kind of creeps me out.
Haven't they already had like, Lifetime movies and shit made out of that?
Yeah, but I think this is, like, an actual, like, series, like a season. Like, I don't know if it's going to get more than one season, but yeah, it's like an actual spoiler alert.
We know what happens.
Right. You know what happens, but I think it's like their life before that happened. Like what made them. Obviously it's scripted, but, it's like a scripted drama about them and why they were so messed up and stuff.
But it, something that was surprising, which, I mean, some of my sympathy dissipated as I learned more about his, serial killer career. But I actually felt a lot of sympathy for Jeffrey Dahmer, in parts of this book because he was so obviously mentally ill and his parents just did not give two shits. I mean, it didn't look like they give two shits. They just abandoned him basically after he graduated high school and he was an alcoholic. I mean, he was, it just seemed like he wrestled with, he was homosexual. He had all these, like, all this guilt and all this sexual, like confusion tied up with men and dead bodies and things like that.
Well, I mean, if you look at most serial killers, they all had some sort of, like, they needed help. And something usually screamed like they need help. One I just read about on Facebook this week, people were having a discussion about was Aline Wuornos or Arlene Wuornos, the crazy lady.
Yeah.
Okay. They, I mean, you can see in her interviews with like police that she clearly needed help. Like she needed psychiatric treatment.
Right.
Like, I mean, a lot of them do. Right. They need, you know.
Well, like, this, like, him, he had bottles, like, bottles of liquor in his jacket, and he drank at school nonstop during the day. How did no teacher, you know, ask
him? Girl, we used to drink vodka and orange juice at school.
Yeah, I know, but you were still afraid to be caught, right? Like, I don't think, I mean, nobody just noticed this kid. Like, unless he was being weird, which he was known for, like, doing things to be weird, and he found pseudo friend group just by doing weird shit because they thought it was funny.
Okay, think about the weird kid that we all went to school with, and I'm not being mean here, so for anyone that thinks I'm about to be mean, that's not what I'm doing. But think about the kid that we all, because we all had one, we had that kid that was weird and like nobody, really nobody paid attention to him. He was kind of a floater in maybe a group or two, but he really didn't have a friend group. The teachers, I mean, they called on him on occasion, but they really didn't pay attention. We had a female and a male in my school that I can remember to this day. And sadly, the boy, I found out back last year, committed suicide. So you think about it, like, clearly those people, like, being left alone and not paid attention to, like, he probably wasn't paid attention to. That's probably why he was able to just drink like that. He wasn't, like, they don't really, you know, they kind of, I hate to say blend in, but they kind of just, you know, there's a sea of kids, especially in high school. There's a giant sea of kids walking down the hall and people probably didn't even notice that he passed.
And, you know, a lot of, I think the time period is just where like you just turned your head, you know, it's like,
you didn't talk about, I mean, I think we've talked about things like this before where you just, you didn't talk about it.
Right.
That wasn't something that you discussed, especially me growing up in the small town, like I did, you know, you would whisper about it behind even behind closed doors. You were just whispering about it. Like you never, you just didn't talk about things like that. So you're right. Like it wasn't something that you discussed. Anxiety, depression, things like that weren't talked about. You know, being different as far as your sexual orientation wasn't talked about. It wasn't accepted. And I know somebody's going to be like telling me some of these things still aren't accepted. But not, I mean, like in the 70s and 80s, like it really was not at all. Like you didn't talk about it. You just said, oh, they're different. And that's all you said.
Right.
So, yeah.
But I would definitely, if, I mean, it's really good. Like, I really liked it, but I'm weird, so I would like stuff like this. But, it'll haunt you. I mean, it did me. I couldn't put it down once I started it. It's fascinating read. And then it kind of led me into the download that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Which I kind of was like, okay, so I read the Wikipedia on Jeffrey Dahmer, and then I searched around to try to find some sort of true crime podcast, or I should have texted mm-hmm. you. I'm sure you already know some.
I do.
But I was just researching, so I came across a podcast that's called The Podcast on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of true crime stuff, but it also has kind of a comedic slant on it. It is comedian and actor Henry Zebrowski and his friends Marcus Parks and Ben Kissel. They have different series on different topics, basically. Tons of serial killers on there. The Jeffrey Dahmer episodes, there are actually three of them. So they have a lot of episodes. So the Jeffrey Dahmer ones are 122 through 124. So I listened to all three of those, and I kind of started digging this podcast.
Right.
Because they're funny, and they're a little bit weird, like me. So, way funnier than me, but can find humor in the fucked up shit like I can. And really, really interesting dynamic between the three of them. I think I turned on another one, but I haven't listened to any of their other episodes, just those three. But they are on my list now to start reading, or to start listening
to. I have
to
a whole list to send you then.
Okay.
There's some really good ones. My favorite, Murder. I'm sure you've heard that about that one. I think I've talked about that one
before.
Yeah,
I feel like you have.
There's another one called Someone Knows Something. Mm-hmm. They actually follow one case over multiple episodes. So there's that one. And then there's one just called Criminal.
Okay.
That one's pretty good. There's one that I found kind of interesting called Sword and Scale. And it actually tells different stories of like murders, rapes, kidnappings, and like serious crimes. Mm-hmm. And then they look at how like the justice system like deals with them.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's another one called True Murder, which is different. Missing, I've listened to a couple episodes of that one. Missing people stories for some reason.
Yeah, I've always been that way ever since Unsolved Mysteries when I was mm-hmm. little. Are any of them, are they all just straight up like,
they...
facts, or are they sort of satirical in any way, or, you know?
Most of them are all fact-based. They're going to be things that, like, actually, the Investigation Discovery Channel has one, too, called Crime Feed.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a lot. A lot of facts, a lot of different things like that, so.
So, what's your download?
So, my download, really quick, is actually from some friends of mine. So Mike, that owns the Fanatics here in town, here in Enterprise, I should say. I say here in town, but has started a podcast with one of our friends. And I was trying to pull up their little synopsis real quick. But so our friend Caleb, some of you guys probably know him. But Caleb and Mike have started a podcast called What About Dom? And it's really interesting because they're both huge fans of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Uh-huh.
So what they do, or essentially what they talk about, let me see if I can pull this up here because it's being a pain in the butt. Sorry. So essentially they find ways to insert Dom into various So in the first episode, they're gonna get into the Fast and Furious franchise, and it reminds me of us talking about things because they bounce back and forth. They're like, oh, whoa, but in seven, we forgot about, you know, so they kind of go about that. And then episode two, it's like, what's scarier than Dom Toretto with a lightsaber? So then they try to take Dom Toretto, who is, you know, from the Fast and Furious franchise, and they compare him and put him into, like, the Marvel universe and the Star Wars universe and just different things like that. Each episode is a little bit different, but it always comes back. Like, there's one, like, Pokemon and Dom! Dom and the Sorcerer's Stone! So it's really interesting. It's, like, always about Dom Toretto, but, like, how does he fit into, like, how would he be in the Harry Potter world? How would he be in the Star Wars world? And, like, then they talk about some of their favorite things from those worlds itself.
And how high were they when they came up with this idea?
They weren't. That's just Mike and how funny he is. It's great. And Caleb, anybody that knows Caleb, he's just, he's like that. He's, I don't want to say loud. I don't mean that as like a negative, but Caleb's one of those, like, he's very boisterous. He's funny. He, like, doesn't shy away from things. Mm-hmm. So it just it fits their personalities very well.
That's funny. I will have to listen to that. Even though I don't know anything about Dom.
Well, they kind of explain most of that in the first episode. Good. So you don't really have to worry about that.
All right. Is there anything else before we take a break?
No, that's really the only download I had. I think Reads and Dreams were pretty good. So we're good.
All right. When we come back from our break, we will be talking about
sorry.
So I was going to let you go.
Oh, that. Okay. Ready?
Batman. Batman, the Mask of the Phantasm,
yes.
An animated movie, which Miranda had seen and I had not seen until today. So, you know, me and my love of all things Batman, I had to watch it. And so we're just going to talk about the movie for a little bit. So Come back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Jenny and Miranda, back with you, and we're going to talk about Batman, The Mask of the Phantasm, an animated movie. And just to let you know, this was recorded like about 2 weeks after the first part of this program, because, you know, shit happens and life happens, and so...
A lot of unexpected shiznit.
Yeah, some stuff happened, so if it seems a little disjointed, that's why. But we're still going to talk about this movie, because it is awesome. And like I said, I had only watched it for the first time a couple weeks ago. I watched it again last night. Not sure why I didn't watch it when it came out. I guess because it was 1993.
How old were we in that? Do we even want to go there?
No. No. Like, I remember, like, watching the animated series vaguely. Like, I don't remember episodes or storylines, but I remember, you know, it was a thing that I watched. But I don't ever remember knowing about this movie for whatever reason.
My cousin swears that I remember watching it. And remember, I told you, when we were sitting at your house with you and the boys were playing. And your husband was like, I went to the theater. And I was like, you know what? I think I did too. But I don't remember. And my cousin was like, heck yeah, we did. Mom's got a picture of it somewhere. And I'm like, so we did. Like, we for sure went. And he's like, yeah, we went. So apparently I also saw this in the theater in 1993.
Hmm. Interesting.
He says it was a couple of days after Christmas. And we would always go to the movie, like, the day after Christmas or a couple days. Like, that was just what we did. I don't remember why that's what we did. He was like, yeah, don't you remember half the movie or half the family wanted to see, I don't remember what he said it was. And he's like, and we couldn't see that. And we didn't want to see that. So we saw Batman. And I was like, sure, if you say so.
Yeah, it was released on Christmas Day in 1993.
Christmas Day releases are still not, they're not as big as they used to be, but they used to be like a real big deal. Like, families would get together and for Christmas would go to the movie.
Yeah, I always wanted to do that. We never did, but...
We did sometimes. Or especially, like, if everything got done early, then that night we would all go to a movie.
That's interesting that they did that Christmas Day.
I want to Google Christmas Day 1993 movie releases and see what they respond to.
You're going to go down the Google hole if you do that. You know that, right?
Nah.
All right. So this movie, it was kind of like a, it was tied to the animated series. Paul Dini being involved with it, which is probably one of the reasons why it was awesome. Has the voice of Kevin Conroy as Bruce Wayne, Batman, one of the, probably the best.
Ah! They went to see What's Eating Gilbert Grape! Boom!
Oh, shit. That's a great movie.
Yeah, but obviously, clearly at 8, I didn't need to be seeing that.
If you're a mature 8.
I was a mature 8, and they still wouldn't let me see things.
So you got Kevin Conroy as Batman, and you have Mark Hamill as the Joker, so...
Of course.
You know, you're probably going to have a good movie.
Well, and did you know the lady... Like, I knew who the lady was that did the voice for Andrea Beaumont, but did you... Do you know who she is?
I just know her name is Dana Delaney.
Yeah, Dana Delaney. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, she was Lois Lane in Superman. What? And then the anime.
And then, she did a show that had, like, a couple seasons called Body of Proof that was really good. And she's on Desperate Housewives.
Now, do you say Andrea or do you say Andrea?
I say Andrea just because that's how I say that.
The whole movie, they called her Andrea, and I'm like...
Or they were, and somebody said Andrea. Or they said Andrea,
Andrea,
too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought Andrea was spelled different, but maybe I'm wrong.
Like, I'm like, whatever, her name's Andrea. Who we got? You know who, you know, those were, to me, outstanding, voices in the movie. Somebody I did not care for was, James Gordon. I did not like his voice.
Okay.
This movie.
Since you said something about Gordon, can I just say something real quick before I actually get into, like, the whole plot and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. You know how they kept, like, panning to the picture of his parents?
Yes.
Didn't the drawing of his dad... So, it's animated, by the way, anybody that didn't figure that out yet. The drawing of his dad... Like, does that not look like it should actually be Commissioner Gordon?
It did. It did.
Thank you!
Like
I was
him.
Like, am I, like... Smoking crack? Because
well, you
that's
were,
just,
but you're still no, not wrong about
well,
that.
No, I would not smoke.
Sure.
Not that one. No, I may have been on that gabapentin that Tim knows about. I was like, I swear that, like, this is bad because Bruce Wayne's dad is not supposed to look like Commissioner Gordon. Unless they were trying to be like, oh, this is why he and Gordon get along is because it looks like...
No,
I don't know. I agree to some of that, but I was like, no, seriously. I was like, why does he look like Commissioner Gordon? Because I just felt like people that have never seen this before, or maybe they only know like newer Batman, they're going to be like, why is he sad at a portrait of Commissioner Gordon? And who's that lady? I'm just saying. Sorry.
All right. So I guess before we talk about that, we should talk about the actual plot, which is kind of. Tricky to talk about because there's so many flashbacks in the movie, and
I don't know how as a kid that I sat through that because that would have drove me freaking crazy. Because as an adult, I was like, "Wait, which are we on?
Yeah,
current or previous?"
That was one of my nitpicks of the movie, which I totally enjoyed. Like, it's great; it's really great, but
very well.
Right? There's not a good transition between the flashbacks, and there's no, like, usually in a cartoon, especially if you have a flashback or something like that, you do something to the animation to like indicate, like, you make it cloudy or you bring in the edges or something. There wasn't enough definition to me in between current day and flashbacks. So, you know, when you talk about the plot, my mind gets jumbled up in how they in the way they presented it, like which scenes came first,
right? Because we're used to flashbacks, and most of our listeners are too.
Yeah.
Especially like Arrow, we're used to flashbacks, and there are distinct ways you can tell he's in a flashback,
right?
So I kind of was like thrown completely off. I don't know because it's all the same characters and they don't look that much different.
Right.
And I was like,
yeah, they're not aged that much. So
the only one that really looked different was the guy that's, oh crap, why am I forgetting his name? But it's, he was the dad, you know, her dad's helper, and now he's actually a councilman.
The commissioner.
Is it Reeves? Reeves?
Yeah. Reeves.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He is the only one that did look different. Like, he looked kind of dweeby and... I hate to say that, but he did. He looked kind of like dweeby, like, I don't got no friends in the flashback. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he was like a douche. And like
totally a douche.
Like, straight up douche in the current. And that's, like, if they showed him, I'd go, oh!
So, it starts out with Batman foiling some mobsters who were trying to launder money through a casino. Had really cool opening action sequence with Batman like doing some fancy stuff. And
let's just be honest. That outfit, though.
Yeah. It's not my favorite costume. I do like the really broad shoulders. Everybody, all the men have like really broad shoulders. I really like that, but that's not my favorite Batman costume. But he looks cool with that huge cape, though. I love the cape.
No, it was the jacked up, like, before I had the cape and cowl costume that I was like, what's this?
But they do this thing, this cool thing where a car jumps from, like, a parking garage into another building. It looks pretty cool. I mean,
it did. I mean, especially being a cartoon, like, or animated cartoon, whatever you want to call it. Some people say cartoon, some people are going to say animated, but,
It wasn't Batman like everybody thought. It was the Phantasm. So, you know, Batman knows that it wasn't him, but this councilman kind of hypes up the incident to say that Batman caused it, and he's a vigilante, he needs to be stopped, and all that typical garbage. But, of course, Bruce is detectiving away, trying to figure out who the other person at the crime scene was. Like I said, the timeline's going to be off here, but I think they cut to the scene at the party before they do the flashbacks to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. So Bruce has one of the classic Wayne Manor parties. I love it. I love those. Because you got bimbos.
Oh my god, they were so bimbo-y.
Fawning all over Bruce. It's hilarious. Yeah, okay.
So instantly at that moment, I just want to say, the adult in me went, why the hell were we allowed to watch this? This is clearly like, got a lot of like, sexual tension that as an adult I'm totally picking up, but obviously at 8 I totally did not pick up.
No. And that's the beauty to me of something like this is that it grows with you. You know what I mean? Like you pick up on
things as an
adult.
Well, I guess that's the good thing is that like it's held with time. Like it's grown with me. Like I see it in a different light as an adult than I did as a kid. Because obviously I liked it. I mean
kids love Batman, dude.
I did love Batman.
There's no way around that. And so I'm just like trying to like generally just talk our way through it.
Oh no, you're fine. And then at that point, I'm gonna be like, and by the way,
he starts staring at the picture of his dead parents, which
they look like Commissioner Gordon.
Every Batman has ever done in the history of Batman. And then that's when they, you know, you go back into this flashback.
Right.
And he's thinking about the first time he meets Andrea, and which I thought was a very good meet cute for them.
I thought it was very cute. I really did.
In the cemetery. He's, of course, visiting his dead parents. She is visiting her dead mother and talking to the gravestone. And Bruce thinks he's being sly, like, excuse me, are you talking to me? And while she's obviously not talking to him, and then she says his name, and he's like, but I heard my name. And I'm like, that whole thing, it was like odd and weird and cute at the same time.
He said something about, she asked him a question. And I wish I had written down exactly what she asked him. But she asks him a question, and he answers or says something. She goes, are you freaking kidding me right now? Are you freaking kidding
down
me?
Down, boy.
Now? Anyway. Yo. So, she asks him a question, and he gives her the answer or asks a question back. And she's like, no, Mom wanted to know.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I didn't mean to interrupt. She's like, no, Mom's not saying much today anyway.
Oh yeah, that was funny too.
So they eventually become a couple, which is in between, like, flashbacks and current
which
day.
Which part of me was like, oh, I see that. We saw that coming. You know what
right,
I'm saying? Like,
right. And this is before he has decided to be Batman.
Right.
And, but he still, it's still something he's thinking about.
Oh, very clearly.
From what I can tell. So, the crime bosses, the reason, like, crime bosses start getting killed in Gotham, and everybody thinks it's Batman, and it's not.
Sorry, I'm trying to throw things at my dogs.
Let's see. Oh, the remaining crime bosses of this little group get scared, and they're like, obviously we're getting picked off. They think it's Batman that's doing it. So,
because doesn't he say why something about like why would the Batman come after us now? Why would he do this?
Right.
Like
it didn't make sense, but they didn't know who else.
And this is present, by the
present,
way.
In present day,
present day, they're being picked off.
And so they decide, who do we know that can stop Batman? And they decide it's the Joker. So, yeah, that doesn't seem like a smart decision to try to, to try to, like, blackmail or hire the Joker to do your dirty work. Like, that just sounds like a way to get dead, you know? Interesting decision. But any excuse to have Mark Hamill be the Joker, I'm in. He's awesome. He's incredible. I love him so much as the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of specific scenes that stood out to me. One of the things that they do when they have sort of like a several scenes where Bruce and Andre are showing their relationship or whatever, like their first kiss. They go to this weird, what's it called? Gotham of Tomorrow or Tomorrowland or some sort of strange little amusement park.
Yeah, it's and I think this may happen later in the movie, or maybe we're about that time. Those weird, like, golem glowing, or, like, golden golem thingies, when they, like, did their little thing when the bad guy came in there. Because we all know who he's going to see.
You mean like the robots?
Yeah, the robot golem looking thing. Yeah. Those were kind of like Velestro.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
But that was, they had a date there or whatever. So it was a nice little callback, I guess, to something that had happened in the past. But one of the reasons, what happens between Bruce and Andrea is, he proposes to her, and she accepts, and then he takes her home. Her father is meeting with some business associates, which are mobsters, and so he...
Which we know that.
Right. So he just drops her off, and they're just like, we'll tell him in the morning. Like, it looks like he's busy with business or whatever. And so the next day, a letter gets delivered to Bruce with the ring, and she's just like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And
she says, like, I've left with Dad, because they'd already talked about how her dad wanted to go on this trip. And,
right.
And so she's like, I left with Dad, I can't do this, I'm too young. And he keeps repeating it. He's like, I'm too young, too. Like, you can tell, like, they're trying to play up, like, how distraught he is about it.
And he, because in his mind, she was what was keeping him from becoming Batman. Like, he went to his parents' grave, and he's like, I see a chance to be happy. Like, I don't have to go down this road. I have her now. Please forgive me. Like, he's just at his... That was a powerful scene. He's at the grave
site. Oh, really? When he's at the grave, and he's kind of, like, crying and begging and saying, please don't make me, overcome this thing. Like, I promise there's other ways. Can we take care of this? And she comes up and she goes, well, maybe they've already sent me. So you can tell that she kind of knows that he's thinking about doing something. Mm-hmm. And remember, there's that scene where they're together and he's like, I've got to do something. I've got to. And she's like, all right, just come back to me in one piece. Like, she clearly kind of already knows that this masked vigilante, because there, you know, is him. Because he's already done, like, a few things, but he's not Batman yet.
Batman yet, right.
Yeah, not yet. Because it even shows where he and, he's going through the cave, and the bats, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, there's a whole cave down here, and, you know, so this is clearly, like, leading to his, like, this is the becoming of Batman.
Right.
Kind of. So clearly she knows, and then that scene where right after he asks her to marry him and the bats all fly up out of the ground, and she just hugs him and she doesn't act too scared. So I think, like, and you can tell by things that Alfred says to her that, like, she's a very bright young lady. Like, mm-hmm. she knows, but she doesn't, because he's not actually the Batman.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of, I think they're trying to set that up for things that happen later, but.
It's interesting to think, you know, he had this glimpse of this life that he could have had. He could have let it go, you know, at mm-hmm. some point with her, but then after she has to break it off, it's just like, well, I guess I was meant to do this anyway, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and he resigns right. himself to it. It's interesting. I mean, I think that tortured part of him is what draws me to him as a character. But it is good to see that sort of glimpse. Even though I don't feel like she would have been enough. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that she would have been able to hold back that mm-hmm. part of him.
Right.
That's just something I thought of. But, so the Joker gets involved and he kills another one of the mob dudes and puts a camera on him. So when the mask shows up, he figures out that it's not Batman trying to kill people, it's somebody else.
Right. And there is the scene where the mask is walking down through there, and I'm like, did they make the mask costume look that much like Batman on purpose?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, from the back. You remember when it's, like, walking down the hallway? Mm-hmm. The way that it, like, the shadows that it left and, like, the way that the costume is flowing, it looked an awful lot like Batman for a second. Like, it even took my eyes a minute to adjust and realize, like, oh, that's not Batman. That's, you know, that's this other character. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, like, if that was done on purpose, knowing what we know what happens, like, towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that she planned it that way, you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. And something else is, like, I'm like, every time that the mask would, like, disappear, it would be, like, in this cloud of fog. And I'd be like, mm-hmm. where's all this fog coming from? Like, does she have, like, does the mask have, like, a fog button or, like...
Right? Does, like, she carry dry ice around?
Yeah,
her?
I'm like, what's up? How does she disappear like that? And I did fail to mention that one of the reason that Andrea had to leave is because her father had been embezzling money from these mobsters, and he managed to placate them and say, I'll get your money in 24 hours or whatever it was. And then he's like, pack a bag, we have to leave. Like, I don't have the money to pay these guys.
So, and she even tells him, you can't make me do this. Like, you know, I'm happy, and, you know, like, come on, Dad, there's got to be another way. And she's trying to, like, talk him out of it. And
But they had put a hit out on him.
Right.
So they were on the run, and where she's been all this time is on the run with him. The mobsters, even though her father, I guess, eventually paid them back, that's just not how that works. They don't care. They still won't try to kill you. and you at, I mean, I kind of feel like I want to spoil. I mean, are we going to spoil the movie? I mean, it's,
we're discussing the movie.
It's from 1993, so.
Right, it's from 1993. We told them we're discussing this movie. You can't discuss the movie without saying what happened. Like, our whole point of our episode is that we're discussing this movie. So guess what? Either, no, you better listen to us because, damn it, we're cool. But don't get angry. And then go watch it yourself and argue back with us. Like, right?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember what. Oh, the Joker goes to the Reeves guy to press him. And he thinks it's Batman. So he's like, it's Batman, I swear. And Batman's like, no. Or Joker's like, no. He knows that it's not.
Right.
Batman confronts Reeves and tells him that he helped them escape the first time, Andrea and her father. And he was the one that blabbed to the mob the location.
Right.
Of her father. So, they track Joker to the hideout, which is that creepy, run-down, futuristic amusement park.
Right.
Which actually looks pretty cool. Creepy. But, like, the perfect place that Joker would be, honestly. Like, a perfect little spot for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Batman finds out the identity of the mask. And it turns out to be Andrea, who is murdering the mob because they murdered her father.
Right.
What kills me is, you know, Joker kind of is running off doing Jokery things while he's confronting her about it.
Which is kind of weird because part of me is like, oh, these Joker scenes are great. And then the other part of me is like, well, they could have totally left the Joker out of this and it would have been.
You know, I kind of had that thought too, but like I said.
Okay. I was like, there's so many people are going to be like, how dare you say they could have left the Joker out?
It is.
Like, no, seriously. Like, he comes in like, why is he like this? It's like he's just coming in to, like, meddle for 3 minutes, and then he's like, toodaloo, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this doesn't make any... I mean, it kind of makes sense because of, you know, Reeves and such, but at the same time, like, you could have left him out of the storyline, other than the fact that I really love Mark Hamill.
Right.
You could have left the Joker completely out of this movie, though, and it still would have been a good movie.
As much as it pains me, yes, I do agree.
And I'm a huge Joker fan. Right. He's my favorite Batman villain.
It just felt like any excuse to put him in this, let's do that.
Right, I was like, they were like, let's make him part of the storyline. Let's, like, everybody loves the Joker. Kids love the Joker. Let's.
And then they're not wrong. I mean,
they're not wrong.
Not wrong.
They're not wrong, but I mean, either make him a more substantial part of the movie,
right,
and just face it that Joker sells, or just don't put him in.
It seems odd that the Joker would do anybody's bidding. You know what I mean? Like, in the
right,
movie,
that doesn't, because he doesn't do anybody else's bidding. I think there's a movie or another. It's not this movie, but it's a separate animated movie. I want to say that he even turns to someone and say. He says, you can't make me do that. I don't do things for people. People do them for me. Like, something along that. He doesn't say it in those exact words, but I remember watching another animated Batman series or movie, and he just flat out, he's like, you tell the Joker what to do? I don't think so. Joker tells people what to do.
Yeah, that was the part that didn't really sit well with me. Because he had connections to those mob guys, so that's, you know, before he was the Joker. But still not a good enough reason. But then there is also the part that's like, well, anything to do with Batman, the Joker's going to be down for. That does kind of make sense, too. But once he finds out it's not Batman who's killing
right.
people, why is he interested anymore? Like, why would you care?
Right.
I don't know. But after Batman finds out who it is, he says to Andrea, she's, you know, confessing everything the way that villains do. And, you know, he says, what will vengeance solve?
Right.
And she's like, you tell me. And the look on his face, she's just like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah. You know that whole thing you've been doing this whole time for your parents? Same shit. Except
but
Batman
there is
doesn't
Batman
kill people.
Does not kill, and she's killing people. Right, and that's his whole point with her, is like, there's other ways. It's almost like he's kind of telling her, like, if you stop, like, if you, like, we can fix this. Like, he doesn't flat out say it, but it's like, I love you. I've always loved you. I know the hurt that you feel, because obviously, you know, she comes back home and, you know, that her dad is dead, and that's actually the whole reason why she really left and started this journey of her own. So it's kind of odd, not odd in a sense, but it's almost like, kismet be the right word? I don't know. Tell me yes or no once I get done saying this. That she leaves, the reason she leaves is because she's decided to leave and take care, she's going to take care of this, because they just took care of her dad, and that's the only person she had in her life.
Right.
And in turn, makes him go, maybe I am supposed to be the Batman, because she left. So
yeah.
You think it's kind of kismet that they both became what they became because of...
Yeah.
I mean, they both became what they became because of the whole thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't be the mask, and he wouldn't be the Batman
mm-hmm.
if she didn't decide to go off and kill people.
Right. Well, I mean... Besides the killing part, I mean, that's the only part where they differ, honestly. I mean, they have
right.
the same issues. But...
And once again, their costumes are so similar.
Yes.
And they
honestly,
made the decision separately, but then, like, she figures out it's him pretty soon, too. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
She comes back, and she's like, because doesn't she say something when he comes in to question her as the Batman, and she makes a comment to him, and he's like, oh, shit.
Well, there's another graveyard scene where he's in costume, and she is already at the graveyard, and she notices where he was hanging out was by
right,
Kara's
like,
grave,
right.
And she's like, Bruce? So...
But then, remember, he comes in to question her, like, after Reeves drops her off after dinner? And
yes.
She just flat out looks
yeah,
at it.
Yeah,
yeah. Because, you know, she's not sure. She only thinks
mm-hmm.
that Bruce is Batman because she found him there. Why else would he be grieving at the Wayne
right.
memorial like that, or the, you know, burial site like that?
And then
so she knows as soon as his reaction when she's like, whatever it was she said. She says something, oh, like you did for your parents or something like, something along the lines of something about his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, even though he has on a cowl, you can see in his expression, and she's like, oh, fuck, I was right. You can just tell her. Because she starts crying, and, like, you can tell, like, shit.
And before all the shit went down, they had actually spent the night together.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got back together.
Because she's like, I'm reminiscing.
Yeah. And so that was short-lived.
Yeah. I was... glad when they got back to you. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was sweet. So things go crazy at the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it turns into Batman versus Joker.
Right? And once again!
Because she just kind of... like, she kind of... she doesn't get knocked out, I don't think, before the whole Joker rigged the whole thing and it's going to explode part. It's like she's just absent from that part.
Well, no, because they kind of insinuate at first that she's gone with the blow up. Like she's gone.
Right, right.
Batman thinks she's gone. Or Bruce. Bruce, Batman, they're same person.
Well, that him and Joker have an altercation. And he tells him that he's going to blow up the place. And then he gets on some freaking jetpack or a helicopter thing. I don't know what the hell that thing was going to be.
It's not quite sure either. One of those weird contraptions that we were like, oh, cool.
Yes, yeah. It's like a total jokery thing, but a little bit corny. Right. And he's like, I rigged this place to blow. And then he tries to go off on that thing. Batman holds him down. He's like, let me go, you idiot. We're both going to die. Batman says, whatever it takes. Which kind of contradicts everything, but whatever.
Right.
You're going to kill yourself and the Joker, but...
Once again, contradicts everything, but...
Sad. So the whole place goes kaboom. Like, mm-hmm. And the animation looks really cool, with the fire and the way everything blows up. Looks awesome. And then Batman gets blown away and somehow ends up down the sewer. Which was odd, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure I know. I don't even have words, because I'm not...
It was a little odd, but, I mean, he has to survive some way. Might as well be the sewer. And obviously, Joker gets away, and she gets away, because one of the last scenes is her on a... Looks like a transatlantic luxury liner.
Right. Like a...
Because, yeah. Sure, people still travel that way in 1993.
Well, you know, they have a huge thing. They're kind of like, I mean, Gotham does this a lot, too, where you're like, is it current day? Is it, like, some made-up time period? Is it the 50s?
Yeah, you
I
never
don't know
what the time period is.
Right.
Yes, that is
so,
true.
So, I mean, that does, it does hold true to the, what has continued for years, and the, there's some clothing that they wear, and then there's some ways that they travel that you're like, what year is this? So, I mean, there's that.
So she's on the Titanic, and she's traveling somewhere. And, so you know she escapes, and, right. Some dude comes out to try to hit on her, and, she's just like, no, I'm alone.
Yeah, she just basically says, like, and she, yeah, I mean, she's insinuating, like, she is alone, like, emotionally, physically, like, you feel really bad for her, like.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the, essentially, the mask is a bad guy, if you think about it, because of what their stance is. But in the sense, she's not a bad guy. She's a good guy. With maybe not the greatest of laurels?
Yeah, it's a gray area, and I think that's probably what, you know, makes it even more tragic, because she does love Bruce, and Bruce loves her, but, you know.
And she's not out to, like, destroy, think of all the bad guys that we usually have in the world of Batman. They're out to, like, destroy and make mayhem and chaos, and she's not. She just wants.
To kill people.
She just wants revenge. No, and she doesn't want to kill everybody. She just wants
specific
revenge.
People.
Right. You are bad people, and you did a bad thing to someone that I loved that was a good person. Mm-hmm. Because just because he was stealing their money doesn't... I mean, yeah, that means you got some questionable morals. But at the end of the day, he wasn't a mobster, you know? Mm-hmm. He just was like... Oh, well, clearly I kind of know what they do, but I can't change that. And you know what? I'm going to take from them. Like,
rationalizing a lot of things.
Oh, I rationalized this whole movie as an adult. And I'm sure as a kid I was like, woo, Batman, woo, woo, Joker, woo, woo. You know, like, I'm sure I was just, like, shoving popcorn down my throat and, like, whatever, Joker, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now I'm, like, rationalizing it and picking it apart. And, yeah, so, seriously, I don't know. I just feel like,
and
like
she,
I said, that's a gray, she's a gray character. She's not your typical villain, but she's not really a good guy either. She's like Deadpool. She's an anti.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I would agree with that.
He's all okay with killing people.
Yeah.
He's doing it for good reason.
And I like how she leaves him a necklace, a little keepsake, in the bat cave.
Mm-hmm.
How she got in there and just hit it.
She knows Wayne Manor in and out, so you know she figured that shit out.
Yeah, I guess so. Somebody that we haven't talked about much, but I enjoyed every scene he was in, is Alfred. Just like I love Alfred.
Has there ever been a bad Alfred, ever?
No.
There's been bad Batmans, there's been bad Jokers, but there's never been a bad Alfred.
Always tremendous. I mean, love Alfred.
Even those of you that spew your hatred of Gotham to me on a continuous basis, we can all agree on one thing, and that is Alfred is a badass mofo.
He is.
And he pretty hot, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've seen him up close and personal. Mm-hmm. That's not makeup. He just, yeah.
He pretty.
He very pretty.
And I just, like, I've said it before, I would read an Alfred comic book. Like, just Alfred.
Right?
Like, young Alfred.
Oh, right? Oh, kind of like my favorite part of Lego Batman when Alfred is actually in the Batman costume. I'm like, yes! I would love to see Alfred, like, you know, Batman's on vacation and Alfred's like, I got this shit. I trained this boy, you know?
I like it. Batman's day off.
Maybe we are so right in this shit. I can't draw worth a crap.
I can't write.
We got this. We've read enough. Yeah. Batman's day off.
And the other thing I wanted to mention about this movie was the music, because it was so good.
Yes, it really was.
Very, like, dramatic and epic and...
It flowed extremely well with the content that was on the screen at the moment that whatever particular track was playing.
It was atmospheric, I think is a good word for it.
And I do think it added, it didn't take away from, but it didn't overpower. Like, it added just what it needed to add it needed to add it.
It did. I loved it a lot. I actually wanted to... because I like to, when I'm reading comic books, I like to have comic booky music on. So I was like, I'm going to add this to my list of stuff to listen to.
You know what I listen to when I'm reading?
What's that?
Classical music.
I like classical music.
I can focus!
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but I take in so much more if I'm listening to classical music while I'm reading. And actually, believe it or not, side note, Amazon has this really cool, they're already, you can order them as a disc, but I just use the digital. Mm-hmm. And it's like classical music for readers.
Oh.
And it's like perfect. Like, they are great. And it has like 50 tracks. But like, it's not a small thing. Like, it's pretty great.
That's awesome. I need to start doing that. Let's see. Was there anything else? I know I had tweeted and asked if anybody wanted to share their opinions about this movie. And I told them I would read them. But that was 2 weeks ago. So.
It's okay. We can get to, I think they should be. You had gotten some, and then I had gotten some. Of course, because I got a new phone today.
Twitter new phone, is like, who dis?
New phone, who dis? Twitter's like, confirmed that identity, please.
I remember.
Tweets aren't loading. There we go. Tweets better be loading.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm going to scroll because some people had replied.
Our friend at Geek and Eats says, loved it. A classic Batman story. It still holds up.
And I agree. Then that goes with what we were saying earlier about how it holds up, but it just has a different... different tone as an adult.
Our friend Mike on Twitter says, absolutely holds up. And I feel like Russell says...
I want to say Greg and Russell both said something to us.
Nope. Let's see. Greg says, A great movie that captures the spirit of Batman the Animated Series at its creative and cultural peak. Himmel steals the show for me.
Why you gotta be so smart all the time, Russell?
That was Greg. Russell,
oh, that was Greg. Okay.
Russell says, still my favorite Batman film. Excellent new villain / anti-hero in The Phantasm.
See?
And
see?
That Kevin Conroy performance. Too bad it had no sequel.
I don't think it needed a sequel. I'm going to argue with you. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, I guess. Well,
you're
going to
argue with Russell.
I'm going to. Oh, my what? God. I can have a segment. Why is Russell so mean? Oh, wait. I already have one of those. So read his statement again, please.
Oh, I had already moved on, but it said.
No, I need time to argue with Russell. I argue with Russell so long, I feel like it's needed.
You think so?
Yeah. It's okay.
Still my favorite Batman film, excellent new villain / anti-hero in The Phantasm, and that Kevin Conroy performance, too bad it had no sequel.
Okay, really? It doesn't need a sequel. It's Danito. It's done. It's Danito. She's not coming back. He broke her heart when he said, you can't kill people. And at the end of the day, she killed everybody. Like, it's done. Like, she done. She's not going to, like, listen to him for the next 30 years after they got married, be like, oh, Andrea, really? She just hadn't killed those people. And she's going to be like, Bruce, really? You're a fucktard. Like, seriously, it's done. There is no... This is the one time I'm going to say there does not need to be a sequel. Mm. They finished it, Russell. They finished it.
Much like your other arguments, I'm just going to stay over here in my corner and...
I like how you're Switzerland all the time.
What? I have to be. Right?
No, you don't.
No?
No? There's nothing that says that you can't side with one of us.
I'm trying to keep the peace.
Oh, there's peace. Mm-hmm. We just... Okay, here's what people don't understand. The whole, like, Russell and I arguing and why is Russell so mean? It's not because I don't like Russell. Russell's like my brother. Like, seriously, guys. We do this because it's funny. And because it's fun to do to each other. Because he does it to me, too. If you've ever listened to his show, he'll go to say something, and he'll be like, so Miranda's fixing to be angry. It gets said quite often, especially when there are Batman discussions and or ever Gotham is brought up. He will actually say, Miranda's about to be mad. And Kelly just kind of goes, Kelly, it's Switzerland.
See? Me and Kelly know what's up. Stay out of this. We'll let y'all do that.
You guys still love me more, right?
New phone, who dis?
Oh, God.
So, ultimately... What's your final thoughts on Batman, Mask of the Phantasm?
Final thoughts are, watching it as an adult, I get a completely different mood and tone and feel completely different about it. I do agree with a lot of our tweeters that were saying, you know, it holds up, stands true, it works through, you know, from 93 to 2017, it's still a good movie. And I do agree with that. I also have to say that, as much as I absolutely adore Mark Hamill, and I think as far as voices for the Joker, there could be no better voice for the Joker ever in any animated series. I don't know that the Joker should have been in this movie at all. Not at all. Or if you were going to insert him, maybe make it a little bit longer so he could have had made more sense in longer scenes.
Gotcha.
I do like this Batman. I didn't think I would watching it as an adult, but I do. I like this Batman. And I like that the story of Andrea, whatever, adds another layer of depth to the broody Batman that we have.
Yeah, I agree. Because
I mean, if you think about it, you have that as an additional backstory. Mm-hmm. It also plays a part into why he is the Batman. It kind of, it's a layer of depth that I really like.
I agree with that. Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it. And my kid came in the room a few times, so I know earlier I was like, how are we allowed to watch this as kids? He watched it for a few minutes, and he came in during a couple of the Joker parts, and he was like, oh, that's cool. And we had it on DVD, so he's like, I'll probably watch that later. There's nothing in it as a parent I would say that your child shouldn't watch it, but there are a lot of things as an adult that they are not going to, or as an adult, you're going to get or you're going to read into more that they are not. Like, it's simply innocent kind of things that, mm-hmm. that it would be okay if you wanted to show it to a child. So I recommend it kind of like for everyone, really.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What do we usually do at the
end?
Will
you tell me what you think?
Well, I agree with you, honestly.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
You said it. Two thumbs up.
Well, I got two and you got two, so four.
All right, four thumbs up.
Four thumbs up.
We're good.
That's how you need to start rating things. You know, we've never done that. So we should start doing that from now on. We should decide how many thumbs, like, I guess essentially because if we liked it but didn't like it, we could do a one up and one down. So at this time, we're giving it Geek and Sassy four thumbs up.
The best you could get.
Right. You can't get any better than that. You
cannot.
No.
Now.
Me.
I know that there's a segment that we do at the end of the show.
Do we do a segment at the end of the show? Are you sure we do a segment?
What's it called again?
Nerd Eye Candy of a Moment.
That's it. It's been so long. It's been so long.
But my question is, are you prepared this time?
What is my answer usually?
No, because I want to see who you pick before I pick.
Damn it! That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
One day I will come prepared.
Well, I mean, I think initially at the beginning, because this kind of like sprang up, like we decided to make this happen during our very first episode. Like it just kind of happened, if I remember correctly. And then it stuck. So, like, the first episode, we both winged it. Because, well, I mean, obviously, reasons that I just explained. And then the next time, we were both prepared. And then after that, I think we just kind of kept going.
Usually during, while we're talking, something will occur to me. But since we had so long in between recording sessions, it has... Yes, I've lost my mojo with this method. Oh, okay. See, something just occurred to me. Okay. I saw an amazing picture on Twitter today, and it was of Mark Hamill.
Did you share this picture?
I don't think I retweeted it, but it was a portrait of him as Luke from The Last Jedi.
Oh, yes.
And it is an incredible photo. I mean, I enjoy me some bearded Luke.
I actually really do like the bearded Luke a lot.
I was like, wow. Of course, it's not going to give much away, but I'm trying to pull it up here. But there's something about the grizzled look to him that I think that fits him.
Right.
It you don't see him as a little kid anymore. You know, you don't think of him as the naive Luke. This looks like old man Luke. You know, kind of like old man Logan, but old man.
Right.
Logan. It's a great picture. And I mean, freaking Mark Hamill looks hot. He looks good.
Age will.
He does. So that's it. Look up that picture. I'll retweet it. But yeah.
Good choice.
It's
good
great.
Choice. Very good choice. Would you like to know that I am not prepared?
Ooh, that makes me feel better. It does make me feel better. And
I was going through, like, things I've watched and being like, because there was something I was watching at the end of the night. And I was like, ooh, that's who I'm going to pick, because that's, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Oh, that's what I'm going to go with.
Well, Yeah, I won't distract you. I had a question, but well, I'll
go for it. Go for it.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's a new Nightwing.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel.
You didn't seem too thrilled about him, so.
No, I'm not too thrilled about him.
He's pretty cute, really, though.
This is coming from somebody that was going to name their second child Grayson after, like, Dick Grayson. So, aww. Obviously, I got Nightwing feels, but,
But not for this guy?
I don't know that I got it for this guy. Yeah, I don't know that I got it for this guy. Everybody's going to make fun of me because Robin was Nightwing and everybody knows how I feel about Chris O'Donnell's Robin.
That's so random.
No, it's not. I mean, think about it, because everybody's going to be like, really? So you think Chris O'Donnell's okay? I can just hear it. I can hear it right now. I can hear the disdain just dripping from their words as they say this to me. But yes, I'm okay with Chris O'Donnell as Robin, but I don't know how I feel about this guy. Is Nightwing. I really, really don't. And it's kind of like Greg said, though. Greg's like, I don't know much about his acting, so it kind of have to be in about, you know, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm going. Like, I'll have to wait and see how he does and then how they present him in the costume as well, I think.
Most important asset. Get it? Asset.
Well, yeah, that too. I was actually not going there, but then I was going there as well. Like
that's the most important part of casting Nightwing.
Well, we've talked before about, you know, somebody will be like, oh, it should be so-and-so. And I'm like, the body type doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a little bit shorter and kind of stocky and...
you think? I've always thought of him as sort of lithe and limber and...
Well, as Nightwing, yes, but when he's Robin, I guess I keep going to Robin, because if you think of how Robin is drawn, he's like that kind of little bit bulkier teenager, and then as Nightwing, he gets a little bit more graceful, I guess you should say. Mm. Like, it's like he leans.
Yeah, he's lean.
He's lean. And this kid, when I'm looking at him, he looks like too short and too... And that's what I was trying to say. This kid looks too short and stocky. Mm. He looks more like a Robin, not a Nightwing.
Ah, well.
And everybody's like, that's the same person. And I'm like, no, it is. Two separate points in their life. Mm-hmm. So one, they do look different. So he looks more like a Robin. And this is not a Robin movie. It's a Nightwing movie. Mm. So I'm getting tired. That's what I meant, though. Like, he looks more, he's short and stocky. And he should. Because, like, Nightwing does get, as you said, he gets leaner and he gets more graceful and gets...
So, any luck there?
Yes. So, I have been, I rewatched the last part of the newest chunk of The Ranch, because you guys know I love me that show. And as much as I hate to say this, Ashton Kutcher be adorable.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm saying this. You know, you and I have talked about this before. My husband can't stand him, right? Mm-hmm. And do you remember those face generator where you put your pictures in and it tells you what celebrity you most likely look like?
Uh-huh.
Your match? So we did like 20-something different pictures of Jerry because my grandma kept going, he looks like somebody famous. I can't figure out who. And then one day she was like, Ashton Kutcher, that's it. And he was like, oh, God. So we did that thing. I'm telling you, we used like 20 different pictures, different like angles. And every single one of them, he's a 97% match to Ashton Kutcher.
Well, now that I'm Googling it, I can see it.
See?
I can see it.
And there's just something. I think it's the vulnerability he shows in this most recent installment of The Ranch. The things his character goes through. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn it, he's adorable.
He is kind of adorable, isn't he? I think his personality pits me off, but I mean, like, if he shuts his pie hole and just, like, stands there, he's pretty cute.
Well, there's duct tape for that. Or super glue. Kind of like with Archie. You know, there's bags. I don't need a bag in this case. I need super glue.
No, no. Just hush your face.
I just need super glue.
Stand there. Be cute.
Right. Super glue.
Not that I would ever judge anybody on their appearance, but I'm judging him.
Isn't that what we kind of do during this?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Yeah. So that's where I'd be with that. And I'm not going all trashy this time. I'm going with adorable.
Okay. I can handle that.
Yeah.
Something that I did want to mention.
Uh-huh.
Comic Book Theater. It dropped. It dropped today.
Which is funny because I want to say the first half of this that we recorded a little while ago, we're like, oh, it should be coming soon. It should be coming.
I couldn't remember if we talked about it or not.
We did.
Great. Damn it. Well, whatever. You can at least listen to it now.
Right now, now you can listen to it. So we told you about it in the first half, and maybe you take a break and you went and listened to it, and now you came back. We're reminding you that it's still there for you to listen to a second time if you'd like to.
I listened to it today. It's tremendous. I loved it.
I love that you laughed at me during a certain part that we just won't talk about because I don't want to spoil it.
Yes, I did laugh at you.
Are you freaking kidding me?
It was hilarious. I'm sorry.
That was traumatic. No one.
I really felt like a terrible person, but I did laugh.
Oh my God.
Which is probably the main emotion that you're going to feel while you're listening to this because it's ridiculous, but it's wonderful.
Right?
Tremendous performances by all of you guys. I mean, just and the producer extraordinaire Todd Weber, who
always.
We should all bow down to his greatness for putting it all together because I'm sure it was a pain in the ass. It totally worth it. So listen to that, download it, share it. It's not too long. I actually thought it was going to be a lot longer.
I really did, too, when it came out. I said it was 2 hours. I was like, oh, what?
Yeah,
they did a good job.
It's not too bad.
No.
And I'm just like, we have to do the rest. It's only the first three issues, or whatever we call it, chapters, of Watchmen. So there's more, and we really need to do all of it, all the way through.
I agree. I really agree.
So listen to that. Listen to the other podcasts here at Place to Be Nation. The Hard Traveling Fanboy, Sailor's Points, Todd Weber's Conversation. There's a couple others.
Dadcast, when it ever decides to return.
I think our friend Tim is working on that. But
Good.
So many cool things to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up on Geek and Sassy, like I said, we hopefully can be a lot more timely in our recordings, but we do actually have some plans. We normally don't, but it's coming up on fall TV time, so we're going to have a fall TV episode, and then we're going to have an episode dedicated just to the CW shows.
Just like last year, yeah.
Yeah, so those are both coming, and then we will definitely have a podcast with our sweet, great, wonderful buddy, Tim Capel, talking about Stranger Things before the new season of it drops in October. So, that's more information than we normally give you guys, so do with that what you will. And whatever fashion we can get it recorded, we will get those shows recorded, and hopefully in a timely manner to help you decide what you need to watch this fall, because, good Lord.
That's starting soon.
Yeah, it does start soon.
Because there's, American Horror Story already, next week.
Right. So, that is what to look forward to, but thank you for listening, and
where can they find you?
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot that part. I am on Twitter at Jenny Cruz, C-R-U-Z, 2814. And then Geek and Sassy is at Geek and Sassy.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram and Twitter.
True. Mm-hmm. And you are at Mom's a Nerd.
Yes, at Mom's a Nerd.
Mom is a Nerd.
On Twitter.
On the twit machine. All right. thank you guys for listening, and go and watch Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Yes, and then tell us what you think. All of times have come. Here, but now they're gone. Seasons don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Take my hand, don't feel the reaper. We'll be able to fly, don't feel the reaper. Baby, I'm your man. La 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 la. La 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 la. Bye.